Good evening, brothers and sisters of the Leaf. Coming to you live from Adrian Barbeau's linen closet. Shh, don't tell her that we're here. It's the Tuesday Night Cigar Club. Tonight, our favorite choir boys get down on their knees and soak in... let me start that over. Tonight, the boys get on their knees and worship the almighty buxom deity that is Adrian Barbeau as they soak in her demonic, nuns-gone-wild horror film, The Convent, while smoking the Tabernacle Lancero cigar from Foundation Cigar Company and pounding down pint after dark and spooky pint of Bell's Porter. Sounds like our crew of fun-loving Tuesday night sinners is going to have a shitload of Hail Marys in store for them when they wake up around noon tomorrow. Or, as they call it, a typical Wednesday. So sit back, folks, light 'em up, and enjoy the show.
Well, boys, I know we started off the show a few weeks ago with a big announcement as far as our beloved pub getting an award, which it does about the same time every year. Well, guess what? It's my turn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you win?
Well, news just came in. I was going to text you guys, call you, but I figured for the show, it'd be better to get your reactions on air. So I've been holding it in all day. In this month's issue, hitting newsstands now, of Podcast Aficionado Magazine, yours truly, Matt Cade, was named Podcast Host of the Year. They said, and I quote... Cade's masterful knowledge of all three subject matters, premium cigars, craft beer, and film, is simply unparalleled in the podcast universe, and his unique sense of humor and endless charm raise him to a level we thought unreachable not long ago. Matt Cade is truly the John Wick of podcasting.
Wow.
There's so many... look, I know what you're thinking. Where would they mention us? So I'd like to do that now. I am nothing without you guys. There's so many people I need to thank. I mean, I did a lot. You heard them. I'm pretty great. But I feel like I sort of need to at least... I need at least a little help getting to where I'm at. And let me just take a minute to kind of thank those people that helped me get here, man. I'm still kind of blown away by all of them. Man, a couple years ago, if you told me I'd be here today talking about this, I'd tell you you're crazy.
I'm gonna cut you off right there. I just looked it up. There is none of that. There's no Podcast Aficionado Magazine. I just looked it up. There's none of it.
You just Googled Podcast Aficionado Magazine.
I did.
How many times do I got to tell you fuckers to stay off your cell phones during the show?
You tell us a lot of things.
I do tell you a lot of things. Half of which maybe you listen to. Even less percent you actually heed my advice, especially when I'm fucking Podcast Host of the Year.
Wait, what are we talking
about?
But
you're not. There's no magazine.
Well, shit. Am I at least the John Wick of drinking?
Possibly, but that's not a good thing.
Did I get the John Wick of Podcast Producers Award from Podcast Aficionado?
It's too late. You said it. On the podcast, on the John Wick of drinking.
I said possibly, but I also followed that up, if you just heard me, with that might not be a good thing.
Well,
is John Wick a good thing? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Would the John Wick of drinking do this?
He's going for it! He's going for it! Yeah! Yeah! No, you only get two yes. You gotta get that thing down in two yes.
Keep going. You're almost there. Any minute.
The John Wick of drinking.
Well, that took half an hour, so I'll see y'all later.
Wait, he doesn't die in that new one, does he?
You can't kill the guy. He's bulletproof.
John Wick of drinking. It's Willer time, motherfuckers. Welcome, everybody. For you lamos listening and not watching on YouTube, I just chugged four beers.
One beer. And I'm not really sure it was a beer.
One beer. Oh, it was a beer, baby.
Oh, it's in there.
Lots of things look like beer.
It was something I got for Father's Day. That
lots of things sounds like podcasting.
they gifted me what they thought was beer. It's got alcohol in it.
Hey, it's the thought that counts.
It's got alcohol in it. It is. It was very sweet, and it is beer, and I'm that's the only way I'm going to be able to drink it.
Slamming it down.
Slam it down, John Wick style. More like John Dick, which is a script I'm writing. Welcome, everybody, to the Tuesday Night Podcast episode. Where are we at? 53?
53, I think, yeah.
53. It's a good odd number.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure.
I forgot to mention last episode 52. 52 is my old football number.
Was it?
Yeah. Retired into the Texas High School Football Hall of Fame. They're still squeezing Zima out of that. Zima's back, baby.
Yes, it is back.
I saw your Instagram post on that.
I did an Instagram post, but then I sent you guys some texts of all the empty bottles. For research for the show, we're going to be doing a Zima episode. I had to do some groundwork. You're welcome. That's why the folks at Podcast Aficionado Digest Weekly, that's why I showed up on their radar.
Dead. You showed up on nothing. Because it does not exist.
No, I didn't. Hey, speaking of...
did you read this in Baja?
Yeah, I did. Speaking of slamming beers and getting drunk, never do this on the show. We'll pay tribute to people with the Buddha Remembrance.
Yeah.
We'll pay tribute if we see a really good movie or... But very rarely do we take time and stop and blast something.
Well, there's two things. Or
if it comes up in the course of conversation, we will shit
right
on something.
I mean, I'm such a negative person that it will come up again in the course of conversation. But, you know, there's so much negativity out there, and I'm usually such a cranky bastard.
You are the crankiest person I know.
You know, why spread the crank?
Well, I'm going to drop some crank real quick. Maybe it just caught me on a bad week. Probably that's what it is. I probably any other week, but I've been kind of run through a real shit show, and I saw this article come up, and then I saw a follow article come up, and man, me blood got boiling, and I was like, you know what? I have a public platform. I got a microphone.
I don't really think that's how they measure. Like, you know what? I'm going to let people know what I think because I've got a microphone.
Isn't that what podcasting is? I'm just a normal asshole, but I bought this microphone.
I'm just a normal asshole who bought a microphone.
You guys familiar with the... I hope so. I sent you guys the article to read.
Yes, yeah.
There's an actor out there, a young actor, I don't know, 30s maybe, late 20s. His name's Miles Teller.
Yeah.
He was the one with that in that Angelina Jolie with the warp around pistol shot?
No.
Oh.
This guy...
He was the one that played the Mr. Fantastic
in the new Fantastic Four.
Okay, that's where... All right,
the new Fantastic Four.
What a giant piece of crap.
He got known for that movie that was real popular a few years ago, the critics' darling Whiplash, where he was like a drummer.
I don't know that one.
That isn't... Anyway, I know him from... my significant other made me watch those terrible Divergent movies.
Oh, he was
he's
asshole.
He's the snarmy kind of asshole in him. Okay. But like Yak said, I think his biggest profile yet was he was Mr. Fantastic in the most recent Fantastic Four. So this little asshole, let me tell you. I'm going to read straight from unlike the Tuesday Night Sword, an actual legitimate news source, TMZ. But I checked it. It's good.
I'm going to stop you right there. Once again, legitimate.
He was arrested early Sunday morning, this last Sunday. We're here in mid-June 2017, after he was literally falling down drunk and refusing to cooperate with cops. I'm okay at this point. I'm fine. Law enforcement tell TMZ, Teller was partying with a group of guys in San Diego. No, I'm still okay with that.
When an
officer noticed the actor was having trouble standing on the sidewalk, they were told that the cop walked up to Miles and started questioning him, but he quickly became uncooperative. All right, you're drunk, whatever. Our sources say that's when Teller lost his balance and almost fell out into a traffic lane. All right. Pretty shit-faced. Been there. Okay. The cop cuffed him, and Miles had trouble standing in one spot. Now the turning point. San Diego offers a detox program where cops will take someone who's drunk to a center run by volunteers. The center has cots where someone can stay up to 4 hours and sleep it off. First of all, that sounds like the worst volunteer job ever. Hey, this guy is so shit-faced.
Was he with his buddies at this point?
Yes, with his buddies.
Was there a sober buddy?
Do we ever have a sober buddy? I think we do until we mock him into drinking. Finally, he gives up and he gets more drunk than any of us.
Who's the designated double drinker? Oh, he's two-fisting it tonight.
Well, I'm just like, man, let him take the guy home.
Well, the cop offered to take Miles to this detox place, but we're told he refused. At that point, Miles could have been arrested, but cops still took him to the detox center, hoping he'd cooperate. Cool cops. That did not happen. Reporters were told he refused to follow directions, so the staff rejected him outright. He couldn't get in the facility. At that point, he was arrested for being drunk in public, a misdemeanor, and was jailed for about 4 hours and then released without bail. Okay. I'm okay at this point. Everybody gets shit-faced. Everybody gets drunk. So drunk that you can't listen to authority, can't stand up straight.
He was just being a belligerent asshole.
I call them Tuesdays.
Like so many others.
Yeah. Looking at you, Cody.
It's deserved. I deserve that.
Later that afternoon, he woke up from his hangover and tweeted. Because that's what assholes do. They tweet. Went down to San Diego to see my buddy before he deployed. See, he's trying to work the military angle in there.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't arrested. I was detained because there was no evidence to charge me with a crime. But for the record, they did some research. San Diego PD says he was arrested and booked for misdemeanor public intoxication. They also took a mugshot of him, which usually don't do if you weren't arrested.
Yeah.
All right, so now he's a liar. Could have fessed up. Sorry, I got shit-faced. It happens. No. I'm the victim here. This is where it gets so douchey I lost my shit. The next day, one day later, Monday, this asshole releases a statement, or tweets again. Four words. I blame Shore Club. That's the bar he was drinking at. Insinuating that the bartenders should have cut him off. Fuck you, asshole. You're a fucking millionaire, Hollywood.
You're a fucking man. First of all, you're a man. You're a grown-ass adult.
Run with it, Ted.
No, I mean, it's just...
I'm saying we've all been there, especially us.
Yeah.
Weekly. Take a little bit of goddamn personal responsibility. Own up to it. Don't put someone's livelihood that's making minimum wage and tips,
yeah,
put them in the crossfire for a fucking mistake that you made, that you got lucky and didn't even go to jail. You know, you didn't... What the fuck is this guy's problem?
Well, first of all, I'm going to probably just say offhand that, you know what, if he's going to blame them, which is the dick move, that just makes him sound like a huge asshole. I also get the feeling that somewhere along the line, he was probably in the club or whatever, throwing out that, do you know who I am?
You could totally, totally hear that.
That now I can, after, I didn't know anything about the guy, but... Now that I hear this, it's like, dude, own it, fuckface. Instead of putting this poor bar staff in the crosshairs, who could lose the goddamn business.
But also, I think because the simple fact of this area has a detox center, they expect people to get, you know, to imbibe a little more here.
Well...
And they are accepting of that. The cops are like, hey,
sure,
you drank too much.
Well, the fact that you have an understanding police force who's trying to direct it,
they deal with it. It's on the beach. They got tourists. They got everything. They know people are going to get shit-faced. They set up this remarkable facility, which we had one of those right next door to the pub. See you guys, because 4 hour nap.
4 hours.
Who's volunteering tonight, Phyllis? I'm just saying, you little bitch.
Yeah.
You had 2 days to either keep your mouth shut and this would go away, or open your mouth and show who you truly are. Fuck you. And for this reason, and from this, probably a million others we don't know about, I'm issuing it, dude. This dude is on the TNCC ban list. We're never going to cover a movie with this asshole in it. We're never going to talk about this guy. Fuck him. We're not going to feature any of your lame-ass movies here anyway.
Wow, I don't think we've actually had someone on the ban list.
No, he's my first.
He's the inaugural. Yeah. He's the first.
Immature little twerp. I don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Miles
and you
Teller.
Have to get you have to be pretty douchey to get onto that list.
Yeah, I thought about starting instead. We got the Boot of Remembrance. Yeah. I was going to start the Shoe of Shame, but I couldn't find a glass shoe to drink out of. My daughter has a little Cinderella thing, but it's been around for a while.
Oh man, that sucks.
Cody, we make a note. We need to get a Shoe of Shame.
Shoe of Shame.
The bigger the size, the better.
It's going to be full of shame, all right.
Well, you know what they say about guys with big shoes of shame.
Look, I just like drinking out of footwear, okay? It's a fetish of mine. But no, fuck this dude, and he's on the ban list.
Good.
So if you guys don't even think about coming to me, you know, we should do this. If he's in it, we're not talking about it.
That just opens up worlds of possibilities.
And hey, just because I'm...
So well, I guess we're never going to cover Divergent.
No, we will not. But we weren't before. They're horrible movies. But I'm opening, even though I am podcast host of the year, I am going to give you guys full reign. If there's someone you want to add to the ban list, come in here and state your case. Do you guys back me up on this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's unanimous.
Unanimous.
Three votes. I knew as a bar owner that would, you'd red flag, what kind of dickhead, man?
It is. Because, I mean, you can't always tell.
I can honestly say in my however...
Even if you can. I mean, come on.
However many years I've been on Earth, I mean, you guys have seen how shitty I get. I can honestly say I've never even considered blaming it on a bartender.
Yeah.
I've never woke up like that fucking bitch. No! It's all me.
Why did this happen to me? Because of the bar... Oh, wait. Because of my actions.
Yeah.
If there was only someone to watch over me so I wouldn't have to take care of myself.
It's like me walking into Five Guys. Look what you've done to me!
Damn you, Domino's! Avenge me!
No, asshole. Nobody did anything to you. You got shit-faced. Own it.
Own
it's
it,
part
man.
Of life. Part of life.
And my God, you're a famous actor. You could have paid that fine and bounced.
Nobody
else
ever know. Nobody
would
be
impacting,
the wiser.
It's not like you're getting fired the next
all
day.
All it makes me think is that you're a lot like another douche who gets on Twitter and runs his mouth when he shouldn't.
Hey, I'm trying to get more followers.
Not you.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, good. I actually thought one of you guys might be like, hey, I like that guy.
No.
All right. Well, I'm sure Mr. Hollywood will never hear about our little... Well, maybe now that I'm in Podcast Aficionado.
Well, I'm going to tweet it. I'm going to tweet it, too. And then I'm going to link to the Podcast Aficionado.
You should tweet it and say you've been, on the, you've been banned. Fuckhead. All right. Well, that's all the business I have.
I've got a little bit of business. Hey, if you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, jump on over to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club website. There's a big Amazon graphic in the right corner of the screen. Click on that bad boy and go ahead and make your purchase. We get a little kickback from it. It adds nothing to your price. We just get a percentage of it, and it helps us pay some bills. When you think Amazon, think Tuesday Night Cigar Club.
Hey, ever since you started doing it in the front of the show, people are actually doing it.
Yeah.
I get texts from like, man, people are actually buying stuff. I'm like, because you're not saying it at hour four anymore. They're still here at this point. We actually did get a tweet. I won't put the listener's name out here on blast, but we actually did get a message yesterday. We put out our Pretty in Pink episode, and they tweeted, I shit all over Twitter. Now I'm going to like talk about how it's about us. It's a great tool. No, she was like, I'm 2 hours and 9 minutes into the latest episode of Tuesday Cigar Club, and their voices aren't slurring yet. I feel like I'm in the upside down world. I told her, you know, we're being respectful because we had Dylan McKay in the studio, and he's in AA, so we wanted to. Because when you're drinking with alcoholics, it helps if you go slower. Really savor it in their face.
Savor that, Dylan.
Yeah. Go slow. We can go all night long.
Oh,
I came out wrong. I came out terribly wrong. Well, speaking of beer, we are sipping on some beers. It's fucking hot right now in Central Texas.
So I'm already down.
So this thing is just
I'm about to need another one, so is Cody.
I'm actually thinking about chugging another one of those. but let me get to the cigar first, and then we can jump right into the beer. But boy, it is hot, right?
It is hot.
It is hot.
My shadow gave me the middle finger today. It's like, I'm sorry, I got to go out sometimes. Tonight's cigar is the Tabernacle.
The Tabernacle.
By Foundation Cigar Company. Where have you heard that name before? We put their El Wawense, the wise man,
that was a
as
one.
Our number six cigar last year. It just missed our top five, barely. We loved it. We really liked that cigar. I'm going to get to the blender in a minute. This was blended by Nicholas, I don't want to say the name wrong, Melillo, formerly of Drew Estate, who had a hand in some of our favorite cigars, the Liga Privada series especially. He went broke off like our friend Steve Saka a few years ago and started his own cigar company, Foundation. The specs here, it's a 7x40 Lancero, Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, which is what Nick is most known for. Mexican San Andreas binder. Due to my notes, I accidentally autocorrect changed it to Mexican Sam Andreas. That's totally what I'm checking into hotels as now. Sam Andreas.
Sam Andreas.
That's the binder. The filler is Honduran and Nicaraguan. As always, I'll wait for the price point till later in the show. I ripped this off of Famous Smoke Shop's website, this description. So I am going to just read you a little bit about the cigar straight from Famous and take from it what you will. Actually, can we cut the music, Tut? It just dawned on me, we're doing an Adrian Barbeau movie tonight, so... I think it only makes sense, boys.
Does it make sense? In what world?
The Tabernacle Cigars are another superb creation from Nicholas Melillo, owner of Foundation Cigar Company, and former production head... at Drew Estate Cigars. If there was ever a cigar of biblical proportions, the Tabernacle is it. Using a blend of prime Nicaraguan tobaccos grown on A.J. Fernandez's La Soledad farm, plus filler from Honduras and a Mexican San Andreas binder, the star of this line is the dark, flawless Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, baby, that completes this latest masterpiece, which is also made at Fernandez's factory. The result is a full-flavored bevy of earth, spice, red pepper, sweet cedar, and chocolatey notes. Oh yeah, baby. Born and raised in New Haven, Connecticut, renowned for producing the world's best broadleaf cigar tobacco, Melillo says that his Tabernacle cigars are his way to, quote, show my love for Connecticut broadleaf. And he adds, broadleaf is more than tobacco for me. It is something sacred, lovers. He didn't say lovers. And then there's the packaging that features the image of Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie. The voice doesn't sound good when you screw up names. Haile Selassie, the 225th emperor of the Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia today, and the deity of the Rastafarians, who's said to be a direct descendant of King Solomon. It was in Solomon's temple where the tabernacle that protected the sacred Ark of the Covenant, baby.
How long is he going to do this?
I don't know.
That's the end.
Oh,
that's all they wrote. Thank you for listening, lovers. One day we're going to have Adrian Barbeau on the show, and she's going to love that. We're just going to talk back and forth in it all night long.
I can live with that.
Well, yeah.
I can live with her.
She was here. Interesting. I didn't know... How would you say that? H-A-I-L-E, Haley, and then S-E-L-A-S-S-I-E, Selassie? Haile Selassie is who's pictured here. It's a very cool-looking band. It's got a man's profile. He's got the little... what kind of hat is that, Yax? Catholic?
Actually, it looks more like a... Orthodox
little hat,
It's an old dude with a hat and a beard and long hair.
His fancy religious hat. We could all just have our own fancy religious hat. I really
Realize he was a direct descendant of King Solomon. We could have done King Solomon's Mines.
Oh, why didn't we?
I haven't seen that movie in years.
Any of them would have been good. Richard Chamberlain was.
Anything. Oh. Oh, let me guess. Anything would have been better than what we watched for tonight's show.
I didn't say that yet.
All right. I will say this. I don't know about... Well, I do know about yours because I looked at your guys' cigar earlier on. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's not a pretty looking cigar.
I kind of dig it.
It is rustic as hell.
Oh, it is rustic as all get out.
It feels like sandpaper.
Dude, it's gritty. It is toothy. It's got huge veins, mine does, going up and down it.
Are you talking about the cigar?
It's so vascular. Oh, wait, the cigar?
Oh.
Oh, it's fine. Oh, it's fine, lovers. No, it is, it's got a little bit of shine, like you can see a little bit on the, mine on the glue where the cap was glued, like, it doesn't. Now, keep in mind, you know, good Connecticut broadleaf doesn't have to be pretty. You know, some of my beloved League of Nines weren't gorgeous, perfect-looking cigars out of the box. But man, this is these don't come in cellophane. These come straight, unwrapped. But yeah, my first thought was, man, these guys look a little rough. How's y'all's feel to it? Do you got any soft spots in yours, or does it feel like it's packed pretty good?
No, it's packed nicely.
Okay. Man, it's kind of bumpy and at the end of the day, who cares what it looks like? It's what it smokes like, but I'm really not getting much on the nose here.
Gunpowder.
Gunpowder. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before.
Gunpowder.
Gunpowder.
Smells like it was used to load a musket.
Oh, yeah. You know what's weird? I just, on the cold draw, I got fireworks.
I'm telling you, there's a little gunpowder there. At least that smell, like, after something's been exploded.
Yeah, it's got a little, like, after you just lit off some fireworks.
I've never seen that before.
No, me neither, but the fact we both got it. You get it?
Thank you, sir.
Interesting. Yeah, there's definitely a... Okay, like I mentioned earlier, Nick was... I mean, ultimately, the Liga Privadas were blended for Steve Sokka. His personal palate, and they were his private smokes for a while before they went public. And I know Steve, very rightfully so, takes ownership of that. And, you know, without me, there'd be no Liga Privada. But Nick was a part of the blending process for a long time at Drew Estate. So I'm not taking anything away from him there. Actually, would like to have Nick on the show at some point to tell some old stories and some new stories and kind of get to know the guy a little bit, which he's got some other cigars coming down the pipeline. So, you know, everyone, when he left Drew Estate, was expecting his first cigar to be this.
Yeah.
Kind of like Sokka. Everyone thought it would be a broadleaf because that's what they were known for. Sokka went with Sober Mesa, a Habana wrapper, and Nick went with the El Buen Wince, which is something totally different. Yeah. So this is what everybody was wanting from him. I have not had one. I'm very curious to light up and see what's what.
Yeah.
As I light up, I'm going to turn the tables. Tonight we have a religious themed cigar, the Tabernacle. I found a religious themed movie, and it was a little challenging finding a religious themed beer. But
wait, it was a religious themed movie? Sorry. Continue.
But we found one that tied in well with the movie, and I was looking for a porter. For whatever reason, I thought a porter might go well with this smoke. So
yeah.
We found a porter that the name of the porter kind of theme wise works with the film. Yak Boy, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
The beer is called Porter.
Back to you, Gabe. Back to you, Mr. Podcast Aficionado.
Just run the whole goddamn thing by yourself.
Dynamite drop in, Cody.
Bell's Brewery. Bell's Brewing. This is their porter or robust porter. I really like it. You know, a lot of people.
Have you had it before?
I have, yes.
Oh, where'd you have? The pub?
Yes.
You guys have carried this at O'Brien's Irish Pub in downtown historic Temple, Texas?
Yes. Right now, well, let me get into that real quick. Bell's started by Larry Bell. He was originally was into beer and brewing in the late 70s, early 80s. He opened his own homebrew store in 1983 in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Did that for a couple years. And then in 85, he started brewing beer commercially. And he did it in what was basically a 15-gallon soup pot. Very small batch.
All himself.
Basically by himself.
Basically a homebrewer on steroids.
John
Wick of homebrewing?
You're going to keep just going with that, aren't you? All right, fine. You are the John Wick of podcasting. If you will be quiet about it.
I've never even seen the thing, so I guess it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Now please stop talking.
I won't.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. You're still going to talk about it, right?
I'll be the John Wick of keeping my mouth shut.
See, I'm just waiting for him to throw it back in there. Anyways, he did that, and then by 89, he was brewing up to 500 barrels annually.
By himself?
No. He had employees, but okay. I mean, it was just, I mean, it was a slow growing thing. By 93, he opened up the first on-site pub in a brewery in Michigan called the Eccentric Cafe. And then after that, it basically just sort of steamrolled. Every few years, they were remodeling or expanding, adding production. Eventually, they opened up a second brewery to handle Comstock, Michigan, where our beer actually came from.
Yeah,
okay. It was brewed there.
And now they're owned by AB InBev.
Probably. No.
Oh, I was just joking.
They're still independent?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
They are now in 31 states besides Michigan. They just came into Texas here at the beginning of the year in 2017.
So Michigan is a state now.
Yes. Write that down.
Interesting.
And they came in here this year in Texas and New Mexico.
There's a New Mexico?
I know. I couldn't believe it either.
I am learning. And what was this? Kalamazoo? Is Michigan have a big craft beer scene?
I'd probably say it's about like Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a few old ones, and I mean, this guy's been around since the 80s, so he's probably one of their first.
Okay.
But in terms of the craft beer, but for the porter itself...
Yeah, I was about to say, tell me a little bit about this porter before I start guessing on it.
They really say that it's not really saying that it's trying anything different. It is just their recipe for... A standard robust porter.
Yeah, I actually think that
their own thing says you owe strong notes of chocolate, coffee, and roasted barley, offset with a slight hop bitterness. The ABV is 5.6, and the IBUs are right around 30.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I definitely think it shades more towards the stout side, because normally I don't like porters. Because every time I see that luscious black onyx of a good porter, I think stout, and then my tongue gets craving stout, and then I taste the porter, and I'm like, you're not a stout. This actually shades more towards like the modern craft stouts of the coffee.
I'm getting a lot of the roasted barley and a little bit of dark chocolate. I'm not getting too much coffee.
Really? Because I'm getting totally chocolate and coffee.
I was picking up coffee, but then again, I was drinking coffee earlier, so I think I'm just kind of tasting that.
I did chug that domestic beer before the show. I probably totally blew out my palate.
Blew out your taste bud. Yeah.
I will say, when we poured these before the show, it poured just like a soda. It had the fizzy soda head. I mean, it looked just like a Coke get poured in there. We haven't done a lot of porters on the show, have we?
No, not really.
They're kind of like the stout's ugly cousin. You don't hear a lot about porters.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I've
stout is actually the cousin of porter.
But I'd say in today's marketplace, it seems like stouts are all the rage, and maybe porters.
I love stouts.
Yeah,
porters
get a little less love.
Yeah, I kind of treat porters like a stepchild.
What's the classification difference of what makes one thing a stout and one thing a porter if they both have coffee and chocolate and?
Well, stouts are porters.
Stout is a varietal of
mind blown.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yes.
They were the term.
You think I'm going to say no on this? I'm an internet celebrity, damn it! I can't out myself.
But hey, nobody's listening. Did you really know that?
Yes.
the recipe is very is it's identical. I mean, the porters were where was the original style, and then as they became stronger, as they began to roast begin roasting like the grains, and even using a little bit of the malts and things like that too.
So it's not like you got a keg and your light beer's at the very top and then it goes all the way down.
No, it's not a barrel of oil that they refine down. Take the sticky black stuff, put it over here.
We're still talking about beer, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Are you sure? Because that like blew the first 5 years of my beer enthusiasm out of the water.
Most of the stouts that we know of were known as stout porters, and then eventually they just took out porter and just called them stouts. Huh.
Now everybody like Tut loves them.
I do. I love them. I've always loved stouts.
You always have.
Even before the craft phase.
I'll be honest. Right now, I'm biased. It's not really my typical go to.
It never has been.
No, it is not. I'm not a fan of the beer. I wouldn't order another one at the pub. But, and I'm curious to see what you think, Yax, once you light up. I do like the combination with the cigar.
Yeah.
The cigar for me early on tastes very Liga Privada 9-ish. Spice, copious smoke. You look at the smoke point.
Yeah, it definitely has.
It's a Lancero for guns.
It definitely has the Liga smoke profile.
I mean, this thing is just pumping out smoke. Perfect burn line, perfect construction, but that nice, not overpowering spice at all. It's got that meatiness to it, and just that real strong black coffee note that I've always kind of associated with the Liga 9. So far, that's what I'm getting out of this guy.
See, right now, I'm not liking the pairing. I think there's too much sweetness coming off of the beer. To me, it's muting the spice altogether in the cigar. I don't have any spice. I barely have a spice profile, and that's only when I retrohale. It's a little too early to tell for me.
Spice? Sweet. See, I'm not getting any sweetness.
It's like, as soon as I lit up, I mean, incredibly like, not
molasses?
Yeah, you might almost say it's like that. It was just incredibly sweet. Not like a flavored cigar, but just, I guess maybe the natural sugars had collected.
Could be. It's an oily cigar.
Yeah.
I'm just getting cedar and coffee. And that nice but not overpowering spice.
I almost think that coffee you're tasting is coming off of the beer.
It could be.
Because I'm getting more of a rural rustic cigar. More of hay.
Yak boy, any hay? Any coffee? Keep it in mind, you just chugged 32 ounces of coffee.
Yeah, I am getting a little coffee, but I think that's...
My tongue is coated in coffee.
Well, whatever it is, I can say I'm liking it early on.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we've done this before.
with darker cigars and darker beer pairings. I think ultimately they find their own voice. This beer isn't going to rule the cigar, vice versa. Yeah, we're just less than half an inch in.
Yeah.
Giggity. We're going to get to the bottom of what this cigar is and what this beer is in due time. I feel confident in that.
We are experts.
It's also our second cigar in a row, blended and manufactured at the AJ Fernandez factory. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
So this is like, I kind of have a problem with it now. Yeah. And I'm confused because I like AJ blended cigars. When he puts his hands in it, I usually like the cigar that's blends. He does like the Southern Draw cigars. He does like his own, the New World cigars that I really like.
Enclave, his own, all the Diesels. I believe Nomad works out of AJ Fernandez, probably, maybe.
But what one of the things that I'm getting curious about is that, you know, much like AB InBev, who is going around buying up all the hops, eventually we're going to see that consolidation hit the cigar world if it's not already doing it. And, you know, from my superior investigative talents, I have heard through the grapevine that, yeah, he is buying a whole bunch of the farmlands down there. And he's popping up almost everywhere now. Maybe he is the cigar industry AB InBev. Not the 80% global conglomerate that InBev is now, but, you know, maybe he's the 25%.
Well, unlike AB InBev, let me just give you a brief history lesson of the Tuesday Night Cigar Club. We've done quite a few AJ cigars this year alone, and every time I mention it's made at the AJ Fernandez factory, your eyes light up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, not going to get a bad construction issue with this cigar. Not so if they are all using this giant, monstrous factory owned by AJ under his quality control, under his trained employees, and it's a product that you like and that you're, like you always say, comes in usually at really good price points.
Yeah, yeah.
And is high quality. And
I know, but
the people working with him, the brand owners,
yeah,
like they Robert,
like
Robert, they like working with them, and they if everything is in motion in a positive way, and
check,
and check you like them, and check they're consistently something you always say, what a bargain for a great product. Then there's that last check on there. Despite all this, I'm tut, so I'm still going to shit all over it.
I know.
Check?
No. And that's where my confusion is because I'm not shitting over it because, like I said, there's it practically checks all my yes boxes, but I don't like having that much of an industry and a market going into one area.
He services so many different brands, including his own. I don't necessarily see at this point, as long as the farms he's buying continue to produce under the same stewardship, to where if a brand owner has been using certain tobaccos from a small farm, and all of a sudden if a guy were to go in and buy that farm, jack up the price, and you're not getting the same quality as you were, then sure, that seems like a strong arm monopoly taking over. I haven't heard anything even close to
that's
that.
Because it's in the small stage to where it's kind of like the Walmart, where they're going to keep the prices low. They're going to keep getting into where they can sit there and push everybody
low
out.
low.
I have a problem with so much of an industry going into one deal. It's like the telecoms.
I honestly don't know enough about that side of the industry to know whether it's a, you know, if I heard some brand guys being concerned about it, okay, they know far more than I would the repercussions of such a thing. All I know is every time we smoke, for the most part, a cigar made out of either in his factory or with tobacco from his farms, we're usually lean towards, wow, no draw issues, a really well-made product at a good price point. I don't know enough to fight you on that.
Well, right now, you know, like you said, nobody's really bitching about it, so No problem.
Although with the U.S. government doing what they're doing, putting their boot on the neck of the cigar, I mean, a lot of people in these other in Nicaragua and the Dominican, they're probably, you know, rightfully trying to think of ways to, under regulations, grow without growing, which is buying farms, buying. Yeah. They can do that without, you know, breaking the law as far as their imported stuff in the United States. So I can't blame them for that.
We'll see.
To be continued. I think maybe the coffee might
I got my eye on you, AJ.
I'm sure he's terrified. Again, this is a guy you've praised numerous times.
It is true.
It's only a matter of time.
Don't even think about getting out the shoe of shame for him. I like it. I have no reason. That's one vote against you tonight. The shoe of shame. Not my style of beer. I think Tut might have a point. I think the flavors might be intermingling. Not sure what I'm getting.
That's fine.
I thought I was getting a coffee note from the cigar. I'm going to take a drag here, and I'm going to stay away from the beer for a little while and take a drag. By a little while, I mean, you know, 10, 15 seconds. Are you getting that spice?
A little bit.
It's a very nice spice. I mean, it's more of like a little pepper. It's not like a burning jalapeno.
Yeah.
It's just a nice black pepper spice and a really earthy note and cedar. You guys getting the cedar?
I am.
Just a dark kind of earth. Okay, I'll come back to it.
I'm disappointed I don't taste the gunpowder.
No, that was only on the cold draw, the gunpowder. Wouldn't it be funny?
Not getting a lot of fireworks.
Wouldn't it be funny if I'd actually put a firework in Tut's cigar, blew up in his face?
Yeah, that'd be funny. That'd be great.
That's from AJ Fernandez. You've been warned.
I'm sorry. Consolidation is a good thing.
It can be.
Consolidate.
I can't even.
Well, we've talked about the beer. We've talked about the cigar a little bit. Let's talk. Introduce tonight's movie.
I sure have been avoiding this part.
The Tabernacle Cigar, The Convent film, 2000s, year 2000s, The Convent. written by actress Chetan Anderson, who's in the movie, and along with tonight's film, she also played a College Jeopardy contestant in a season 5 episode of Beverly Hills 90210. As you guys know, I'm currently sludging my way through the entire series of Beverly Hills for a very important project.
Yeah.
Which I can't get into here. So she wrote it. It is directed by a guy named Mike Mendez.
Kate, I got a production note that we're a go for the 90210 podcast.
Don't you joke.
Oh, okay.
I've got things in motion. I can't really talk about them, Brandon. Did you talk to that guy you know about the sideburn transplants?
I avoided that with every fiber of my being.
Yeah, well, let me know if you hear anything.
I will.
Mike Mendez directed this thing. He's got a handful of small budget horror films under his belt. Most recently, he's gotten into the sci-fi creature feature business with the tongue-in-cheek horror comedies Big Ass Spider and Lavalantula.
Wow.
I believe Lavalantula was a Steve Guttenberg vehicle.
That makes
why
sense.
Why shouldn't it be?
Well, that's nowadays. The Convent was his third feature film back in 2000. And it's actually one I've been aware of a long time. I remember reading about this flick. I was a longtime subscriber to Fangoria magazine, the horror magazine. And I remember reading about it back then. I had a picture of Adrian Barbeau in a leather jacket and tight jeans. And I remember that. But it just never came to the video stores I frequented. Never got a chance to see it.
Why couldn't you have watched it back then?
Well, I never did, and so honestly, guys, I really sweated tonight trying to find us a movie. It is hard to find a religious-themed movie that we can...
Rosemary's Baby. Amityville Horror.
The Name of the Rose.
Look, those are all stupid movies. No, we're not going to talk about Rosemary's Baby. It's such a morose, straightforward, artistic...
The Exorcist.
Come on, man.
One, two, three.
Well, three, we could have probably done something.
End of Days, Schwarzenegger.
Come on, three was awesome. George C. Scott.
Where were you guys the last 2 weeks?
You didn't ask. You didn't tell me what was
from
going
on.
From
now on, it'll be the first question I ask after the podcast.
I'm sorry.
The movie was fine. It had its moments.
I don't think it was the podcasting crew of the year. I'd like to start seeing a little more respect out of you guys.
Yeah, a little more.
Mike look, Mendez,
look,
let's go.
Look, the point is, I've had a real shit show of a last week or so. I couldn't do a Rosemary's Baby or an Exorcist. I just couldn't handle it. I knew from my memory of this film and looking at Mike Mendez's filmography, I just needed something maybe with some religious undertones that we could have some fun with. We've come out of Pretty in Pink. We've come out of The Void, yeah, which was very heavy-handed. I almost did Prince of Darkness, John Carpenter.
Yeah.
But then it dawned on me, you know what? Some of our listeners might not like John Carpenter movies. Maybe I should just give it some space. Which would have been a really good one, but I didn't go there. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. We hadn't done a horror comedy in a long time. I think the Boy Scouts Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse was maybe the last. So we haven't done a lot of horror comedies.
And I've grown fond of horror comedies.
They're great.
Deathgasm is still one of my favorite movies around.
It
was.
You know, I think the ultimate horror comedy for me is Return of the Living Dead.
That's my
favorite. Shaun of the Dead is right
Shaun
up there.
Shaun of the Dead, heck yeah.
It's a genre, the horror genre, that is ripe. And then if you really want to stretch, then, you know, Army of Darkness is a horror comedy.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously tonight's movie was inspired a lot by The Evil Dead and Sam Raimi.
As a matter of fact, one of the actors in this was in Army of Darkness.
Coolio?
No. Actually, the other cop.
Bill Moseley?
Yeah. He played one of the Deadite captains.
Oh, did he really? I never knew that. Well, we'll get to Bill Moseley.
He's got a story horror career. So,
oh yeah, we'll get to him. He's in everything. Bill Moseley does not have a say no clause, but God bless him. I've met him. I'll tell a little bit more about that when we get to him. And Tut, you toured with Coolio around the same time, didn't you?
No. But I was a Coolio fan.
I could totally
see
that.
This was not a Fantastic Four.
I'm sorry. Coolio had some great flow back in his day.
He did those really, like, if you were in the car with your mom and you wanted to put a cassette.
Oh, it was definitely white.
And
it
put
was,
a cassette tape white. In. Coolio was the one.
It was definitely white approved. It was mass marketed. But I loved his flow. He had a great rhythm to it.
We'll get to Coolio. I'm not a Coolio fan. Never have been a Coolio fan. That Gangster's Paradise song and I have...
Oh, that's horrible.
Have a really bad history with that song, especially.
Oh, but, I mean, that's what's so funny about... Even though I love the guy's flow and the way he does his rhythm...
We're still talking about cigars. Or music, Coolio. Right?
I don't... I mean, his songs are cheesy and popcorn. I mean, there's nothing that's really... Well, of course, I've only heard like three songs of his.
It's not really enough to... I love his flow. His masterful... I've literally heard one song.
I've never seen him play in concert, and I've heard two songs.
I am a Coolio fan.
Don't you make me shit on this guy, too.
I celebrate his entire catalog. Hey, do you guys right now want to put Coolio on the band list?
Why? No, I'm voting against that.
Okay.
I got your back, Coolio.
I get a feeling that band list is going to grow by leaps and bounds.
No.
Just tonight. Everyone associate with this film. Coolio's not on our band list.
You got to respect the dissenting vote. You were with me, though, right? You should be on.
No.
You know, before I jump into the convent, despite the what I kind of negative impression, not negative, but the, you know, I thought the cigar was a little lumpy, kind of veiny, just rough looking. I have had just copious smoke production. I got a perfect burn line going. Have you guys had any construction issues?
Mine just went out, but that was because we just went on break.
Yeah. I got to give credit where credit's due. It's got a stack of dimes for an ash. I am getting coffee. I gave a break from the beer for about 15 seconds. And I am getting coffee from this. I'm getting earth. I'm getting coffee. I'm getting some spice. It does remind me a lot of League of Nine.
I'm going to have to disagree. I'm not picking up the nine note. There's some similarities, definitely, but I think that this is a standalone product.
I jumped to my kind of go-to woodsy, the cedar. It's almost like a stronger wood, though. The woodsiness I'm getting from it, like, you know, kind of like what do they use in the barbecue pits? Not mesquite, but the
hickory.
Like a hickory, maybe.
Hickory.
Yeah.
I know you're in hickory. I think that domestic you slammed earlier just kind of jacked your palate up.
Give me some beechwood.
Beechwood aged? Beechwood cigar? Yeah.
Beechwood aged.
Peach. Not beech.
Maybe
peach.
Balsa wood?
Balsa maple. Wood. I got it. It's Argentinian rosewood.
Possibly. I am liking it a lot. I mean, this was for years my go-to profile on a cigar. Dark earth, coffee, a little bit of spice. I think you're right. The beer is pretty overpowering. I mean, you drink this thing and it just kind of, your mouth just kind of is coated with it afterwards. Where are you guys at with the cigar? What are you getting?
I am still just me picking up coffee. But I think that's just from the coffee I had earlier, but it's just...
We are horrible cigar podcasters. You're drinking coffee, I'm chugging beers. Like, what the hell? All right, everybody, just listen to this guy at the show. He's over there eating pure habanero peppers. It's a ghost pepper, guys. This won't affect anything. God. Idiots.
That's what's weird, because I'm not getting the earth. I'm not getting...
Anything I said.
Right. I'm more rural of a taste. It's still a rustic. It's got a little bit of hay to it. It's got a... I don't know. It's maybe I'm kind of imposing my own taste on it because I really love the way this looks and feels.
That's what she said. It reminds me of, all jokes aside, when we first smoked the Elwha Wense...
Couldn't figure it out?
And we couldn't figure the fucking thing out, and you were tasting like 20 things. I was tasting 20 things. They were all different from each other.
Yeah.
Now, that was a fresh cigar straight out of the... These have, you know, settled. These have been a while. Usually our palates are somewhat simpatico. I all jokes aside, I don't think it's the drinks. I think... I don't know. I don't know what's going on tonight. But it's... Let's wait till we get to about the halfway point, and we'll come back to it.
I'm already there.
Yeah, slow down. Maybe that's why he's tasting shit. He's burning through it too fast.
It's all fire.
Experts say, you smoke it that fast, you're doing the blender a huge disservice.
That's all right.
You apologize to Nick right now.
No.
Say you're sorry.
No. There's other blenders that match my profile.
Can I fill up the shoe of shame for Tut?
I knew it.
Wait, if I'm on the
we're
going to
be
list,
on the band list.
Do I... Can I?
You're not getting banned.
Oh.
I'm making an exception. Presidential pardon. We need his headphones. All right. Well, let's get in the movie a little bit. And the beer is pretty straightforward. Dark chocolate coffee, right?
Yeah.
That's about it?
Yes.
Okay. I had thought, and I tried to get a religious-themed beer that had a peanut butter component. I thought peanut butter would go good with this, which I... Now I really think it would.
I think it would, too.
But we couldn't find a religious-themed beer that also had peanut butter in it.
I can't believe that I would ever try to search out a peanut butter beer. But no, I think actually you might make a point.
I thought it would work really well.
No. Yeah.
But nobody listens to me. So. Not you guys. I mean, like, nobody makes a religious themed. We need to have our own brewery. So, like.
So you start brewing just for the.
We need more peanut butter cups.
Not bad. And I love this idea. Yeah. We're out. Jason ate all the Reese's.
Ugh, I'm so sick. Damn it. Cody's drinking all the coffee. You're eating all the peanut butter. What's wrong with Cade? Oh, he thought we were going to put Wild Turkey bourbon in this batch. He never said that. He just wanted an excuse. The convent. I keep wanting to say the covenant, but that's a whole nother.
Yeah, there's
thing.
Many.
There's
other
a lot
films.
Of movies called that. The convent. We start things off in 1960 at the St. Francis Boarding School, which looks a lot like the Alamo.
It really does.
Where set to the Leslie Gore tune, You Don't Own Me.
Which is like one of my favorite songs used in movies.
I hate that song because some cell phone company or something used it
in
a commercial recently.
Yeah.
Where like women were just jogging, singing it. Like, my cell phone plan doesn't own me or something. And it got stuck in my head. Every time you turn on TV, it was football season.
Yeah.
So it would come on, like, every single commercial.
Yeah, I remember it.
You don't own me. And I hate this fucking
song.
Well,
normally I would turn it for the commercial.
Yeah, well, it brought up. I hadn't heard it in a while. It really brought up some horrible memories. You like it, though?
I actually do. I think it's a cool song.
Okay. Was this the original Leslie Gore? Is that... Did she do the original?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know it that well.
All right. Well, a sunglasses-wearing, cigarette-smoking tough girl in a Catholic schoolgirl mini-dress walks into the St. Francis boarding school carrying a large gas can and a baseball bat.
And a bottle of Jack Daniels.
She proceeds to start bashing nuns right and left with the baseball bat as she chugs whiskey with her cigarette still in her mouth. Which I didn't know was possible unless you were a member of Guns N' Roses. Those guys did that to perfection.
Well, she kind of looked like a t-shirt girl, like the girl in the t-shirt.
But no, she's hardcore. Once all the nuns are knocked out, she sets the place on fire, drops her cigarette and blows it up. Then she pulls out a shotgun just to make sure and starts shooting the priest.
As he's on fire.
He's on fire, but she wants to blast him, guts and blood everywhere.
Which I'm like wondering, why didn't she just lead with the shotgun? Like,
and I'm just wondering, like, what the hell is the priest doing as she's spending like 5-10 minutes beating all the nuns with the baseball bat?
Then I was going to wait just, until, like, you know, as soon as they were all like lying on the ground, then she pulls out the chainsaw and starts chopping them up.
Well, hey, unlike The Void, who had that opening scene where they shot the girl in the back and set her on fire, but it looked like a bag of leaves, and there was real no motion to it.
Oh, no, this is a fire suit.
And I said that it really could have been a real impactful opening scene. It wasn't. This one actually shows all that shit. Bodies in fire, like, running around, guts shooting out.
And that's their budget.
I thought it was a good opening scene.
It was all right.
But you're right. You only attack with a baseball bat when you want some, like, physical vengeance. Like, you want them to hurt before they burn alive.
I mean, baseball bat, you can't do anything. After you walk in, shoot everybody, they're laying on the ground bleeding and limping. Around. Oh, no. Then you go over with the bat. You work them over.
What's my name? Say my name.
I'm all out of bullets.
Well, she clearly didn't. She had something personal against
her. Chris, she really did walk in, and I couldn't figure out, because, I mean, just her costume was like, is she going for, like, a Terminator? Is this
Catholic
like They Live?
She's like,
it was Catholic schoolgirls in trouble. She was troubled.
I'm here to beat nuns with a baseball bat and smoke cigarettes, and I'm all out of cigarettes.
All of a sudden, you see the doctor come in the window. Fresh pack for you, babe. Well, so that the Alamo / St. Francis' boarding school burns up, and we cut ahead to 40 years later, we're told, to the Alpha Delta sorority house. Or is that a fraternity house?
It didn't matter.
I think it's a sorority. It doesn't matter. Where Clarissa is waiting outside for her ride. As she's prepping her hair in the mirror, out of nowhere, her goth friend Mo pops up in a chicken mask and scares the shit out of her in a reflection. And she begs her for a ride to the convent that night. Apparently, all the sororities and fraternities every year head out to the old convent to try and paint their Greek letters on the sacred bell tower. Hence,
Bell's
Porter. We did it. We did it, baby. We did it.
There it is.
Tut was in the liquor store, and he was like, well, Bell's Porter would work, right? I hadn't watched the movie yet. I'm like, yeah. How would that? He's like, well, you know, the bell tower when they, oh, yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. You've been paying attention. I'm proud of you. No, I am. But yes, they're going to try to climb up into the bell tower and spray paint their fraternity letters up there. But as her new friends honk their horn over and over again out in the Jeep to get her attention, Clarissa explains to her old high school friend Mo, you know what, my new friends, they're not really an accepting bunch. You know, Mo's got the dark black lipstick.
Oh, she's straight up
goth.
Like 90s.
Well, it's 2000. It's still late 90s goth. And I just can't give you a ride.
Cure goth.
Yeah, cure goth. You're going to give me a bad name here. This prompts Mo to take out an old high school picture of Clarissa giving the devil horns, her face painted goth, got a nose ring, and she's like, and I could also tell him that you once banged Joey Ramone, which, who amongst this table hasn't, right?
Yeah. What?
Is it too late to kick him out?
Yeah. Put him on the ban list.
Hey, shut up. Nobody's letting you shut up. We'll edit that out. You shut up about it. You won't get the shoe of shame. But as soon as she says that, I'll tell him you banged Joey Ramone. Clarissa's like, all right, damn it. Let's go.
Quick interjection.
Yes.
One, Mo is hot. Two, did the other girl look like Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Oh, and that's another thing that, you know, it's funny how 17 years changes things. She's like, and I'll also tell him about your tattoos. Now I'd be like weird if a sorority girl didn't have tattoos.
And I'll tell him that you don't have any tattoos.
That'd be now, like, I'll tell him your tattoos are fake. Yeah. Well, it turns out Mo wants to see if the convent is really haunted, all the stories she's heard. And it's too far to walk, damn it. Just give me a ride. It's all I want's a ride. Well, suddenly the Jeep's driver, Frijole.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love this dude. I know you're going to love Frijole. It's too hard to tell, huh? He yells out for Clarissa to hurry up. And you know what?
I'm going
to
give it 2.5 movies. 2.5. I'm going to back you on Frijole. He's a little bit obnoxious. He's got the punchline, the 5 minutes punchline that I hate. But he had some moments.
He had some moments. I like Frijole. Well, he yells out to Clarissa, you know what? Hurry up and bring that goth lesbo with you. Tells it how it is. Well, that takes care of that. The blonde cheerleader riding shotgun, Caitlin. Can you guys hear that name anymore without thinking of Bruce Jenner?
No.
That has to suck if your name is Caitlin. Like, why did he pick this name? It'd be like if Lena Dunham or some, like, announced she was getting a sex change. I'd be like, please don't pick Cade. Please don't pick Cade. Please don't pick Cade. I'm going to be known as Cade Dunham. Oh, fuck. Out of all the goddamn names.
It wouldn't bother me. She could be Jason Dunham. It's fine.
Jason Dunham?
Yeah.
I just can't hear Caitlin without picturing sassy Bruce with the wig.
I think I've only seen him like two pictures after the sex change, so I don't. It doesn't bother me because
I
don't pay attention to it.
TNCC is pro LB.
Get the letters right.
LBGT? And I think they've added.
You're missing the.
I think they've added a couple other ones on there.
Q.
We're for all of it.
R.
RS.
Look, we're for all the alphabets. We're the best in alphabets.
I don't care.
Don't
who
worry
you,
about the best.
I don't care who you are or what you got. You're always welcome to pee next to me.
But just don't be upset when I pee on you. I'm really horrible with aim.
It's not personal.
See, again, I always go to Bruce Jenner. Sorry, baby. Like, he's pissing all over me. Well, I guess he'd be in the girls' room now. Anyway,
in Texas.
It's hard for me to hear the name Caitlin without thinking of that. Well, where was I? Sorry, with a little aside there. Caitlin asked Frijole why he'd want a dyke to come along. These are their words. Why would you want a dyke to come along anyway? Which he licks his lip and says, He also does the eyebrow thing. Just give me 5 minutes, baby. That's all I need. 5 minutes. And they're off. I like Friuli.
Yeah. He has his moments.
It was 2000. It was a different time.
I don't like the whole 5 minutes thing. But later.
Before they leave town, they make a brief stop outside a creepy old house where they kind of pull up to the curb where Mo tells them that's where Christine lives. She's the old lady who shot up all the nuns 40 years prior. Mo says that she shoots anybody who steps on her property, but Friuli says, I could fuck her. Friuli. I like this guy.
But it really just begs the question, because I was like, at this point, I'm thinking, okay, so the person that just basically killed an entire convent, just right there. Did they lock her up or put
insane
her in prison?
Insane asylum? No, no, right there.
He starts honking the horn. Come on, baby, let me do you. To which, finally, an upstairs bedroom light comes on, and we see a silhouette of a woman up there. He's like, oh, shit!
Starts
up the Jeep, and they get the hell out of there.
Oh, it's funny that you did that.
This does have Scooby-Doo written all over it. Maybe more so than any other of these films we've watched. But at least they address it at one point. They recognize how Scooby-Doo they are. When they arrive at the Covenant, this movie moves at a pretty good clip.
Thank God.
I mean, we're not even 10 minutes in. They're at the Covenant.
Unlike this podcast.
The convent.
You take it easy over there. You're on probation. Which, they show the convent in a cool wide shot.
Yeah.
It's either a matte painting or like a composite shot of a building, because the moon is way out of proportion, like huge over it, which was a big Sam Raimi Evil Dead thing. He had these huge moons over things. But it looks nothing like the convent that burned down in the opening scene. They cut the chains on the gate, and as they walk up to the burned out structure, the burned out frat boy, Friuli, turns on his charm with Mo, the goth chick. Hey, what kind of pussy does a priest get?
Well, she goes, none.
That's right, none. Get it? N-U-N? To which Mo's like, no, none. Same kind you get. Yeah, it's not entertaining. Just give me 5 minutes, he said. That's it. Just give me 5 minutes, baby.
Keep saying that all the time.
Also, it turns out Clarissa's little brother, Chad, is there. We didn't see him in the Jeep. He was like laying, he was hanging onto the back with a skateboard. He's there. I'm sorry, Clarissa's little brother is not Chad. He's the Brantster. Brantley.
Brant.
Whatever.
Chad is Clarissa's boyfriend. He's a frat guy, like Friuli. Her little brother is a Lambda fraternity pledge who's there to do their bidding. Is that a tribute to Lambda, Lambda, Lambda?
I believe it is.
Probably is.
Well, I think they're doing Alpha Delta as opposed to Alpha Beta.
Yeah.
Lambda can't be just an accident. It's got to be a throwback
I think so. I think you're right.
These guys are Lambdas, and they're going to beat the Alpha Deltas by getting their spray paint up there on the bell tower. Biff is Caitlin's boyfriend. He's the
better name, really.
He's the jock of the group. He immediately gives Brantley a wedgie as soon as they get out of the Jeep. To which Brantley, the Brantster, is like, "That was a good one, sir. It went all the way up my ass."
Yeah, this is after his sister is basically saying they don't respect you. They're just getting you to do all the dirty work.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Days Confused.
Brant's got a little Courtney Gaines feel to him.
Yeah, he does. But it's kind of like the big brother or big sister relationship in Days Confused, where Mitch is getting picked on by the older kids, and he doesn't need his sis there defending him. But unlike that, he really doesn't stand up for himself at all. Oh, actually, it's nothing like
it's
that.
Nothing like that.
It's nothing like that. Show. Well, here's how much they don't respect the Brantster as their little pledge. They actually grab him and use him as a battering ram. That was funny.
It was hilarious.
They bashed down the boarded up
door to
the convent.
Did you notice the sister, though?
My ass. Was she laughing?
No, the sister, all right, they throw him against the wall first.
They just grab him and start bashing him.
And she steps in, and then she's like, "Don't do this. Come on, man. This is horrible." And then they just, like, say something, and then she instantly is like, "Okay, fine."
Yeah, well, there's no continuity with these characters whatsoever.
I was like, that's your brother, and now you're cool with... All right.
Well, they basically shove his ass through the boarded up thing to break it. I thought it was a funny scene. So they're not inside the convent 10 seconds before Mo starts telling stories, the goth chick, which sends him spiraling into a flashback 40 years earlier when Christine O'Malley of the old chick's house they just left was 16 and pregnant. Father Ryan and Mother Superior strapped her to a gurney and gave her a forced abortion. I bet they used a wire hanger, says Caitlin, to which boyfriend Biff grabs her around the neck and kisses her, like, that's my girl. That was a weird exchange.
Dude, I had to pause.
I rewound, I'm like, what was that?
I think, and that was
even in this weird movie that didn't make.
I think there was like a different conversation and they just cut that.
It was edited wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're talking about this abortion and Caitlin's like, ooh, I bet they used a wire hanger. And he's like, that's my girl. It's so bizarre. Well, Mo goes on to say that the rumors were that it was Father Ryan's baby. He had knocked up 16-year-old Christine. But nobody would ever know the truth because Christine showed up with a shotgun and blew her buddy away. She claimed they were all disciples of Satan, and then she spent the next 30 years in the nut house until she was released to the house they went to earlier. Mo warns the Father Ryan and the nuns still haunt these hallways, seeking revenge. But that's cut short when Frijoli suddenly throws a dead rat on top of all of them as they're huddled there. And that makes Caitlin and Biff horny, so they go off to screw somewhere. Spray paint the bell and then screw somewhere. But it was like he threw a dead rat on her. She's like, gross! And then they just start making out. There are fresh bloody palm prints on the walls. Large red devil faces painted on the convent walls. None of this really spooks or sends the group running at all. In fact, that when after looking at all this is when they officially like, all right, everybody, let's split up and go have sex.
Because like, let's go into a strange, creepy, abandoned building and
with have fresh blood handprints.
Well,
on
that
the wall.
Leaves Frijoli alone with Mo, who's like, "Hey, baby, it's just you, me, and the Chronic." I hadn't heard weed called the Chronic.
Since the 90s.
15 fucking years. That was awesome. He offers her a joint. I think I used that pickup line back in the 90s. Hey, baby. Fucking Frijoli. Well, as Clarissa and her buff boyfriend Chad swirl tongues. Yax, was he buff? Sort of.
Kind of, I guess so.
That's something I... missed the doctor would have backed me up on.
He would back you up on a lot of things.
He was buff.
Yeah.
She really does have a dark side. You can kind of see it glimpses. And Chad learns this because as they're making out, he kind of slides his hand out and sticks a finger in her ass, and she likes it. Wait, which version of this did y'all watch?
I did not. No. Why didn't I watch this one?
There was a different version?
You only gave us one option.
Did you guys see the one where she slid her finger down into Chad's ass? He's like, hey, I'm not Joey Ramone.
No.
Is there a better version of this movie that I did not watch?
Y'all didn't see any of this. Okay.
Great.
No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen. Nobody slips their fingers down anybody's butt cracks. If it were a Matt Cade film. As they're going at it, she sees a pale, ghostly nun with pitch-black eyes all of a sudden appear next to her. And she screams and freaks out. But Chad explains, baby, that's just Frijoli's potent chronic. It's in the air. You're going to see some strange shit. It's laced with something. Don't worry.
Oh, that makes me feel better. Oh, I'm not hallucinating dead things. I'm hallucinating because I'm drugged.
Well, they go back to making out. Hey, it was 2000. It's a different time.
Cosby style. You got the ghost in the tail in there.
I can't feel my toes. He's on their band list as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do Leonard Part 6.
On favor? yeah, well, there's really no Cosby movies, I guess.
Ghost Dad.
I drink a lot of them. He's more. I'm going to be Ghost Dad tomorrow.
Across the convent, our hero Frijoli asks Mo if she knows karate, because her ass is kicking.
God.
I knew he was going to say it.
I know.
But it was still when he said it. Like, Frijoli. I think whenever you're watching a bad movie, if you can find anything to latch onto.
Oh.
And for me, Frijoli was my anchor. I had to have Frijoli.
Well, at least you had that.
Yeah. Yeah.
After a half dozen equally corny come-ons don't do anything to Mo, he decides to go full-blown rapist. He comes on really forcefully with her. Speaking of Bill Cosby, all the girls tell me no, sweetheart, but they never mean it. Now that's,
yeah, they never mean it once I get the chronic.
Now to that, you can't say, well, it was 2000. No, that's bad. It's always been terrible. But you know what? Mo's like, I gotta give this guy some reason. She's like, you know what? I'm a virgin. Which stops him in his tracks. In fact, she's saving herself for Marilyn Manson. to which Frijoli says, oh, I get it. You're just a hater. Man, I know a lot of guys like Frijoli.
Well, you gotta be honest. The only thing I can say is, like, you know, at least he is perpetually positive. Nothing stops this guy.
Nothing stops him.
He keeps going. Just, she turned me down. That's all right.
I hate you. I hear that a lot, baby. I literally don't want you anywhere near me. All the chicks.
I am sharpening this stake now to impale myself and end this.
My mom told me that this morning. Yeah, I think Frijoli's been hurt. I think he hides a lot of hurt under the surface. I
think it's just an act.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more layers to Frijoli.
There's a ducky layer of Frijoli.
No,
I don't think he's an onion.
No. Well, he is, in that the more we see him, the more he stinks. yeah. Well, this potential love connection is dead on arrival, right, boys? This isn't going anywhere. Wrong! Just then, sirens and a bullhorn emit from outside. It's the campus police, and Mo's already on academic probation, so she buys Frijoli's silence by saying, hey, look, if I promise to do something with you, like physical contact later on, will you please not tell them I'm here? But he wants a little collateral, little insurance, so she gives him her panties. And she did that
Just puts on his head.
Yeah.
Weird science style. Matter of fact, I think they even make a Weird Science reference there.
He does just drape him over his head. And just,
I mean, without... Would be one thing if, like, maybe just stuck it in his jacket or something and, like...
It's Frijoli.
I mean, just, like, she takes him off and he just promptly pulls him onto his head.
Yeah, Frijoli isn't even Hispanic.
No.
Such a weird name.
Why ain't they just... Bean?
Is it beans?
Yeah. I think so.
But we didn't get a good fart joke out of Frijoli.
No.
Interesting.
Maybe they had a different actor in mind for the part.
Well, by this time, they're probably
they did the
on
the best they could with the
Frijoli was supposed to be Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell, but he read the script and was like, oh,
fuck that.
Look, I might be hosting Extra someday. I can't do this shit. All right, what else we got? Oh, that guy. Well, outside the convent, the gang is all of a sudden lined up in front of the campus police. Everyone but Mo, she hid.
She hid, yeah.
Officer Ray, played by the one and only, as we mentioned, Bill Moseley. This guy first got noticed on most horror fans' radar, Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Yep.
He took the hitchhiker role from the original when they invade the record store. He's Leatherface's brother.
Yep.
And he just steals the fucking show. What do they call him? Scalp. Top. Something top. Chop top.
Yeah.
Is it chop top? Chop top. He's so good in that. You see him pop up and pop up in lots of stuff. He got a resurgence
in the 2000s, Rob Zombie found him and cast him as the lead in House of a Thousand Corpses, his first movie, and then a much bigger role in the sequel, Devil's Rejects.
He was Otis, right?
Otis. He was the head of the Firefly family in The Devil's Rejects, which was kind of his big acting moment. Guy never really got a moment to shine as an actor.
Yeah.
And say what you want about those movies, they're terrible, but Bill Moseley is fucking brilliant in them. And he's like an Ivy League trained actor. Like, he's a really unique screen presence. But you know what? In the 80s, 90s, this is where you would see him popping up in this stuff. So Officer Ray, I have a cool... we went to a horror convention, and he signed... my wife was a fan of... She didn't like anything at this horror convention, but she saw him, and she really liked Devil's Rejects. So he got a picture with her, and he signed an autograph. It was like, "I'm your Satan, Jenny." Or, "I'll be your Satan." It was something very touchy. But a really nice guy. Really super fan-friendly.
Yeah.
Cool dude. So he plays Officer Ray, and then there's Officer Starkey, played by, as we mentioned, Coolio. And they're giving these kids the business. Coolio has the hair, the Coolio hair. He's calling them all white boy and white girl and, you know, a lot of racial stuff.
I was about to say, I mean, the drinking game would be drink every time he says white boy.
Yeah. He says, "You know what, you're not the first group of asshole white kids who tried to desecrate the bell tower. This shit happens every year." And Coolio tells him if he so much as catches a scent of anyone else lurking around in there, they're going to need a combination to visit your boy's nuts. Which I didn't get that reference at all.
I don't.
He was horrible.
He pointed at Biff's nuts and was like, "You're going to need a combination to get to his nuts when I'm done with him." It was just a weird line.
I don't know. It was so horrible.
Whatever the hell that means. Well, as the white kids then pile in their Jeep to leave, we see the cops, they start joking. They had taken a joint out of Frijoli's ear. He had a joint tucked in the back of his ear. And they're like, "Let's light this shit up." So Coolio and Bill Moseley start passing this joint back and forth. While Mo is peeking out at them through the boarded up windows, and all of a sudden we see a black gloved hand come over her mouth and yank her out of the frame. We then cut to the gang of slow young adults sitting at a diner booth, debating whether to go back for Mo or not. Clarissa pleads with Biff and the others to take her back, but Biff isn't going to put his scholarship on the line for anything, and Caitlin adamantly believes that if the cops find them out there again, it'll look bad on her application to fashion school. You got to think about these things. Biff says there's simply no way they can go, as the Lambda party is just now getting started, and they got 50 fucking kegs, so that trumps any murder or rape that's going on to Mo right now. 50 kegs is a big party.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You ever been to a party with 50 kegs?
I have, actually.
Go on.
Oh, yeah.
College.
I was about to say A&M.
A&M.
I haven't been to a 50 kegger. I've been to like a 31, and it was at A&M.
It was one of those where, you know, throughout the night, they just started stacking the kegs up like empty beer cans, just building a wall out of them. It started getting ridiculous.
Quite impressive.
Well, yeah. Then maybe I had been. I hung out with you. Yeah. I was usually Miles Tellard at that point. Which I blame those guys who brought the kegs.
I blame A&M.
Did you finish your cigar?
No.
Oh, okay. It was hidden behind them.
I mean, it was just one of those, like, you know, it was kind of like a cul-de-sac party. I mean, these houses in this cul-de-sac, and then it just kept growing and getting more ridiculous to where, you know, by the time we were, like, trying to get out of there, I'd easily say there's maybe somewhere between, like, 4,000 and 5,000 people.
Oh, jeez.
Project X style.
It was just, it was anarchy, you know. By the time we were walking away, like, cops were showing up because it was just, like, too many kids in one place.
Coolio comes out there.
If there was some chronic, that would have been different.
Oh, I got you chronic. Well, it
and
sounds
Frijoli was there.
It sounds like five against one until Frijoli reveals he left his chronic
sack back at the house, which all of a sudden, you cut to them in the Jeep pulling back up to the house. Once inside, they immediately, once again, split up to have sex or look for the Brantster, her brother, and Mo. Brantster was with them. It was just Mo at this point.
Yeah, they went back. Mo.
They didn't care about her, though. They went back for the weed.
Yes.
For Holy's, he's not having any of this, so...
Well, the dog runs off, and then...
He's got a dog boozer. He runs off. He sends the pledge, the Brantster, after the dog. Then he just sits down. He doesn't have a girl, and he just starts chomping on psychedelic mushrooms. I think we all know how that can turn. Real quick, Cigar. Are you guys getting anything new?
Midway through, I've got your coffee. I've got a bit of the earth going through there.
I'm getting a really nice earth on the retro hail midway through.
Yeah,
that wasn't
exactly
there early
at.
On. But like just a really smooth kind of earthiness on the retro hail that's delicious. I mean, it's really, for me, I was ho-hum that first third.
Yeah.
But once that earthy, smooth retro hail started, the midway, man, I haven't had that in a while. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it is starting to split apart from my League of Nine analogy. Far more earthy and woodsy. Just as you say, you're getting the coffee.
Yeah.
What are you getting, yeah, boy?
I'm still getting a hint of pepper.
Are you guys getting any of the sweetness you were talking about earlier?
No, that's gone completely.
First third only?
First inch. Right when I lit up. And I think that was probably just maybe like a collected sugars.
Construction still A-okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying the retro hail on this, that real nice earth.
Yeah, the retro hail is definitely where the flavors are on this cigar.
And it was like that too on the Rose of Sharon. I got a lot of that cigar on the retro hail.
Yeah.
You're kind of shortchanging yourself if you don't do it. I am liking it. Beer for me is
meh.
Pretty ho-hum.
Yeah, man.
It's 2 weeks in a row we've had a...
Well, but you know, like I said, this is their pour. They weren't like trying to do anything special. This is just their version.
But shouldn't you try and do something special?
No. You can make... All right, this is... It's meh to us because our profiles don't like porters. Cody's more forgiving of the porter. But I can appreciate what they're doing, because if you like porters, I think you will like this beer. I don't like porters that much.
I just have a hard time, like, they weren't trying to do anything special. Well, you should.
Man, you know...
That's like, hey, try my cigar. What do you think? That's kind of plain. I wasn't trying to do anything crazy.
See, I'm kind of like...
It's a cigar.
I'm kind of back and forth, though, on my beers, because in today's craft beer world, where you've got just these weird... All right, I want to make a grapefruit passion sour beer.
I understand that.
Sometimes I just want a delicious pilsner. Give me a standard lager. Make it good.
I understand that.
I can appreciate that. And that's what I think this is. It's probably a good porter. I just don't like porters. I will say it's closer to the stout than anything.
Yeah.
It was closer to the stout.
I like
the more,
it. I mean, it's
more porters.
It's a good porter.
The more I drink it, I am getting more of the coffee as opposed to the dark chocolate. The dark chocolate's still there. It does kind of have an acidity to it, like a soda.
I guess that might be.
You said they had a bitterness on the back end.
It's only like I said. I had mentioned it's a 30 IBU, so it still has a little bit of hop bite to it.
To me,
but not much.
That is a benefit to it. I do like that that little bit of bitterness on the back end. It's not bad, but it's
not my cup of beer.
It's not great.
It's not great.
It ain't
it's not bad.
Bad. To be continued. Well, out of fucking nowhere, we zoom in on a tied up Mo, who's in shackles on top of a bright green pentagram. Turns out she should not have stayed there.
Okay. Before we go, I only have 2.5 things in this movie that I like. The rest of it is a big blowing turd. Half of it is Frijoli. And these guys are one of my two.
I like these guys too. She is surrounded by a little squirrely guy with a fake beard and long black hair. I think his name's Saul.
Yes, Saul.
But he goes by the Prince of Evil. He has a little minion, a little sidekick that's a little goth boy named Dickie Boy. And they have like three or four blonde, buxom blonde chicks dressed in kind of black satanic robes.
Okay.
They are the local town Satanists. And this is where it just really, like I said, I made the mention. I made the mention, you know, like, you know, little Scooby-Doo here, and all of a sudden, now here's the villains. Except, as opposed to wearing masks or anything, they're just out in the open. We're going to summon Satan if it wasn't for those kids. But wait, the kids aren't going to stop us, so we'll summon...
You have to understand, Cody, this was thine 80s, and thine 80s was full of devil worshippers.
This is 2000.
But...
He did have a very unique way of speaking, and... He wasn't wearing a mask, but that was a fake mustache.
It was.
Oh, it was totally fake.
So basically, all right, I'm going to come back. These weird Satanists are over Mo. He's babbling Prince of Evil all sorts of things about sacrificing Mo to devil, the circle of Beezer, the 13th column, to which Mo busts out laughing. You know, she's a hardcore goth chick. She knows her stuff. She says... The 13th column, could you be any more gothic pretentious? Which she's like, whatever do you mean, darling?
What do you mean?
She's like,
I am thy son of Satan.
Don't talk about the Prince of Evil in such ways. And then he demands Sapphire, one of the big titty chicks. He says, he's like, don't you talk to the Prince of Evil this way? To which Mo starts laughing more. She's like, Prince of Evil, you work at Dairy Cream. You served me and my cousin wizard cones the other day.
Shut thy mouth.
Don't listen to her, Sapphire. It's a very funny scene.
It actually is. It's like I said, it's one of my 2 points that I actually like on the movie.
Liar, liar. He keeps screaming at her. She's like, liar my ass. So he tells the little guy helper to gag Mo once again. And then he orders Sapphire, one of his other female minions, to stop questioning him and his potential employment at Dairy Cream. Because they're starting to like, is this chick telling the truth? Is this guy really... and take the dagger of despair. He names shit like we do. Take the shoe of shame and the boot of remembrance. We need a dagger of despair. Take the dagger of despair.
Go thine with thy dagger of despair into the corner of no hope.
And plunge it into the virgin's chest. All right. At this point, it seems to me like these fools come out to this place and just fart around with fake Satan stuff.
Yeah.
He works at Dairy Queen.
It was totally 80s Satan.
He's scrawny and artistic enough where these girls believe in him. But they're just goofing around. I mean, they never have done anything hardcore. So when he tells her to take the dagger of despair and plunge it into the virginal heart, I don't think he's really expecting her to do it.
I totally didn't expect her to do it.
Well, yeah, but what I love is, like, someone stab her.
What about you? No.
No.
Today.
Father Satan tells me that you're supposed to do it. He does this throughout the movie.
What I love is, like, he's like, now stab her. Today. Like, no one does anything. He's like, today. Now, do it.
Now.
He kind of loses his little sensitive voice. No, really, do it. Come on. But guess what?
She does it.
She does it. I thought Mo was going to be our hero in this thing.
I know.
She is now dead.
Dude, Sapphire, who, by the way, Sapphire, the one with the big, she's the one who wrote the movie.
Okay.
It makes all kinds of sense.
Totally
makes sense.
Chad and Anderson or whatever. She plunges
Cheyenne, write a movie on stage 3.
She sinks the dagger of despair right into Mo's chest and kills her ass.
And as soon as she does that,
Mo jolts straight back up.
Her demonic possession.
Her eyes are now bright neon green.
I'm sorry, this is now a 1995 rave.
Oh, God, she has so much black light.
Glow in the dark, streaks on her face, which obviously you only see with a black light.
So much black light.
Boards begin to shoot across the convent's windows, sealing them in. Doors slam shut. the roaming camera, Evil Dead style,
sure
starts growling.
I'm just thankful that there was so much free loose lumber to put over those windows.
The only thing missing from this scene was like a metal version of Morrissey.
Well, this is where Evil Dead comes in. The camera starts flying around. You hear the Evil Dead groan.
Yeah, there's a lot of Raimi throwbacks in this.
Not done nearly as... I call it Evil Dead Light.
Well...
Kind of like that beer I chugged earlier. It's kind of a beer.
Start to feel sorry for the camera. Keep running! I'm so tired. I can't keep up the pace.
Well, Mo starts biting her captors, the girls, and spitting out their flesh. Sapphire's pendulous boobs start getting bathed in blood. Just everywhere. Oh, she runs to a shower room.
Yeah.
And the shower starts... pouring blood. Red blood over her. They're pendulous.
They're not really moving. They're bolted on.
Yeah.
Semi-pendulous?
No.
No, they're...
fake boobs.
Fake boobs.
Her fake boobs get blood all over them.
They were still impressive. Boobs. They were still impressive fake boobs.
I'm going to make a note to go back. I think they were pendulous.
No, they were White Snake video boobs.
Oh, yeah. Good call there. That's what I would...
They're nice.
When she gets soaked in that red blood in the shower, she turns into a demon, correct?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Something bad is going on here.
Apparently, right? First it takes demonic possession, you need to be dead and stabbed in the heart with a knife. Now all you need to do is be sprayed with some blood from a shower.
No, and she was bitten. She was bitten.
Yeah.
Well, that's
no
true.
Bitter.
She got bitten somewhere.
Not on her boob, because they would have deflated.
Pendulous boobs got bitten?
Her White Snake boobs. Apparently, they are now demonic zombies?
Basically.
They're ghouls.
Okay, ghouls.
They're demons, actually. Technically, they're demons.
Yeah.
They're satanic demons straight out of hell. Well, next thing we know, old Chad is getting... Clarissa's boyfriend is getting attacked by a female demon, and she's ripping his guts out with her mouth before Clarissa can... Hey, thank God for those 2x4s. Grab a 2x4 and beat her off of him. They speed the camera up again here. A lot of Sam Raimi stuff. So as a bloody Clarissa and Chad stumble out in the hallway, they pass a stoned-out Frijole who's walking out of the room he's been partying in. Dude, Chad's guts are hanging out of his belly.
I know.
Clarissa's covered in blood, and Chad's like, "What's up, guys?" and just keeps on walking.
Frijole. Can you, like, beer me? It's the only way I'm making it through this movie.
Yeah, I got you. Frijole is tripping big time. He's still smoking weed, and he ate all that bag of shrooms. It'll get you.
I've never done the shroom thing, so I hear it's pretty potent.
Well, he ate an entire sack. I'm pretty sure that was meant to be shared.
I don't know how many shrooms one is supposed to... ingest?
Not that many. According to lore. Well, he stumbles into another room, and all of a sudden the song Dreamweaver starts up.
It's a weird version of Dreamweaver, though, isn't it?
It was a cover version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I will say that the guy singing it had some Aussie tendencies to it. He had that kind of whine to his voice that, you know, Ozzy's kind of famous for. Enough to the point where I was like, holy crap, I kind of like this, and looked it up, but it wasn't Ozzy.
Do you remember what movie we first heard Dreamweaver in? Where it became my first exposure to Dreamweaver.
Wayne's World.
Yep. There you go. Every time he saw Tia Carrere, they'd play Dreamweaver. Well, it starts playing as he starts seeing shadow puppets on the wall of deer. A Christ statue on the crucifix on the wall turns its statue head over to him and says, "Yo, get me down from here, motherfucker."
And a bird slash the panties flying by.
It's Moe's panties start flying around his head like a little butterfly. He's loving it, though. Nothing is freaking him out. The Jesus talking to him, the deer.
It's Frijole.
Frijole's just loving it. This is crazy. He also looks over next to him and sees a demon nun playing a piano. That doesn't freak him out either. Awesome. Nothing gets to this guy.
Pretty good on them keys, sister.
Her eyes, she looks at him, her eyes are neon green and she's got fangs. But he's like, "I'll still let it blow me." Like, he didn't give a shit. So Mo comes in. Hell yeah, and she throws him up against the wall. Like, hell yeah, baby! I knew you were dumb. I knew you were one of those dominant chicks. And then she starts like physically just beating the shit out of him. He's like, oh yeah, I love how you look all demonic and shit now. I mean, I guess the guy gets a pass. He ingested a lot of drugs. But she's like, I'm going to eat your soul or something like that. Or it's like, hey, do what you got to do, baby. So she chomps down and basically bites his wiener off.
Yep.
Starts going down on him, and then she just chomps on the...
I have to spend eternity as a demon, but a wienerless demon? Oh, this sucks.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I get to live for all of eternity in Satan's paradise? Awesome. Oh.
Will I regrow a demon penis?
No.
Exactly. It just grows out like when, like the horns, they just come out, right?
It would be something like a little Nicky. Yeah, we can get you a demon. Blow in your thumb and it pops out of the head.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting that wiener back.
No.
It was
Free Holy, we hardly knew you. Meanwhile, Clarissa's little brother, the Brantster...
There goes half of one of the points that I like. ...is
still wandering around looking for Frijoli's little dog, Boozer, who ran away. He's a good fraternity pledge. He's doing what he was told to do. When suddenly the Prince of Evil, the guy you like...
Hello! Zoink Scoob!
...and his sidekick, Dicky Boy. I think that was his name, right? Dicky Boy?
It might as well be.
Doesn't matter.
They emerge from behind the Brantster. The Brantster thinks, because Frijoli had said he's going to have some people showing up later with some chicks to buy some drugs. That was just to get him to go find his dog. Brantster thinks these are the friends. He's going to get laid. So he plays along. He lets them blindfold him. Bring out the evil scarf.
We are the friends of your
Frijoli. I think at this point, like, you know, the sons of Satan over here would figure something out, like, you know, we worship the dead. Okay, that shit in the other room was fucked up.
Oh yeah, they're still
kind of... I'm still going to go with my persona.
I didn't think about that. They kind of forgot all about the real demon shit that went on.
No, I think they were like trying to figure a way out of it. I think that, you know, as fucked up as it was to pretend, I think they knew enough about Satanism where they're trying to send the demons back.
Yeah, well, they do have a plan. I guess I always have a hard time reconciling what I know that the Tuesday night Cigar Club would do in all these situations. Get in our fucking truck and go. Well, never looking back.
It's waiting for Saul and his little voice like, oh shit, not this again. We've got to send them back.
We would totally Shaun of the Dead. Let's hit O'Brien's, have a pint, and wait for this to blow over.
I'm just saying. We would never stick around like, I think I can figure this out. I got a solution, guys. It could kill us, but I think we can beat... No! We just leave! Like we have every other hard thing we've ever encountered in our lives.
Bring on the pint of penance.
Evil pack of cigarettes.
Wait, can we have a pint of penance?
Oh, you like that one? My shoe of shame. My shoe of shame is no go. But you like the pint of penance? Actually, I kind of like that too. Can you get us a gold pint with jewels encrusted around it?
Yes,
I can do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I've got to have jewels.
Well, it's better than apparently we need various drinking vessels to solve all of our problems.
Couldn't we maybe put a little shelf? Could we put a little shelf here to hold those things?
Yes, we could.
Because sometimes I want to bring out the boot and it's way over there. So, like, if it was right here, I can
totally do that.
I think we're getting somewhere tonight, boys. Well, they blindfold the Brantster with the evil scarf.
The evil scarf.
In the hopes of them, he's like, they're going to take me to some party girls and get me laid.
You meet strange dudes who are going to take you to girls that you haven't met yet, and they want to blindfold you.
But dude,
you?
I love this scene so much. So, Prince of Evil, as the Brantster gets blindfolded, comes up behind him and clocks him on the back of the head. I guess with his cane of evil. But he's like, ah!
The problem is like, it's not like he's like really bringing down. He's like 2 inches away. Like, ding, ding.
This guy's arms are about this big around.
And you can just see he's like,
He's got no muscle. And the guy's like, ow, that hurt. What are you doing to me? And then, remarkably, he doesn't take off the blindfold like, you dicks. They're like, oh, sorry. Stand up once again. It was... And he does it again. Doesn't knock him out. What are you doing? That hurts. It's very much a, what's the Chris Farley scene? Black Sheep, when David Spade's hitting him with that thing. You're hurting me. Why? Stop it.
I was actually thinking Will Ferrell. Like, I'm in a lot of pain here.
Oh, yeah, Austin Powers? Yeah. It's terribly hot down here. It's a funny scene. So finally, though, he does, like, rear back all the way with the cane of evil, and he actually does not.
He finally gets, like, you know,
the Brandster out.
I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing? He analyzes the problem. Yeah. I need to come back further. As opposed to just tapping him on his noggin.
I guess you don't get that much upper body strength making blizzards all day at Dairy Queen.
Well, those things are pretty thick.
Well, he finally knocks his ass out. The Dairy Queen server slash wizard explains to Dicky Boy that if they can stab another virgin in the heart with the dagger of despair.
The dagger of despair.
They can reverse the curse, and all these demons will go away.
How did these two guys end up with the full-fledged Book of Satan? It says right here.
How did they end up with those three USA up white all
snake,
night?
White snake chicks?
White snake chicks.
Apparently they like evil.
Tuesday night satanic podcast.
They like the bad boys, 9K.
Dude, we could do a podcast with robes and... What'd you call it? The pint of penance?
The pint? Oh, yeah, I didn't call it this. Doug called it the pint of penance.
Bring
I just liked
out
it.
The pint of penance.
I like these guys, and it was a funny scene.
It was.
In a nearby room, the demon priestesses... pounce on Caitlyn, ripping all the skin off her face.
Pretty much.
It's a cool effect. They literally just peel her skin off, and it's just not a cheesy skin. It's like a...
It's actually really well done practical. It's a good,
but then all of a sudden, like, literally, like, just horns, like, boink.
That's good, too.
And now I'm possessed and evil.
Well, she grows horns, joins the Army of the Dead, but not before they speed up the film and she does a crazy demonic cheerleader routine. She's, like, doing her arms and...
It's horrible.
Didn't bother me. It's a horror comedy. It's funny.
They
were apparently imbibing and taking some of their chronic.
Did you guys think maybe at the end of this thing it would all be like Frijoli pumped out so much chronic smoke in this thing and they all imagined it?
No, I would have appreciated that.
It was Lucifer's chronic that befuddled us all. Well, that's the aesthetic of these demons, though. They move very fast and choppy.
Oh, man, it's horrible. I hated the treatment of it.
It's a choice. If it was a serious zombie or a serious demon movie, I would have been like, yeah, that's ridiculous. But this movie's ridiculous. It didn't bother me.
It's horrible. I was just waiting for this to be over.
Well, Biff, much like Tut, runs away. Like, you run away from this film? Biff, yes. Biff does run away.
Yes.
And when Caitlin gets her face torn off, and he joins the badly injured Chad. Am I going to be okay? Look at his guts. Like, and I love that he reads their reactions like, oh, shit. Like, maybe it wasn't as
I'm gonna
bad
get you
as
a Band-Aid.
Maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Am I going to be okay? They're like, I can't say that. I don't want to lie to you, Biff. Or Chad, I'm sorry. And then Biff and Clarissa, they try to knock some boards off the windows to get the hell out of there.
And this is another scene where, like, they started boarding. Actually, they started boarding up, try to fortify the room that they're in. And Clarissa is just like, what are you doing? Our friends are still out there. And then she's like, oh, fuck it, board it up.
She flips on a dime.
She flips on a dime,
several times,
man.
In this movie. She's, like, trying to be the good girl, the Jamie Lee Curtis. But then you remember she fucked Joey Ramone, and she's got those tattoos and nose piercings.
Wait, if they see my tattoos, they may not like me anymore.
You guys judge me because I don't have tattoos?
No,
I don't have a tattoo.
Can we walked in on you in the shower once? He's got a Huckleberry Thanks. Hound tattoo on his butt, left butt cheek.
You were not supposed to see that.
Doesn't close the shower curtain in the hotel. You wanted to be seen.
I like to air dry.
You guys have any lighting issues in the second half of the cigar?
A little bit, yes. It's like...
I didn't have to relight it all the first, but now I'm like, it's going out on me regularly.
Mine popped off. I thought it was because we just, like, took a break.
I'm pretty good at knowing when it's from lack of attention, but no, it's starting to go out on me a little bit. Although this last half is really... That retrohale, the creaminess, and
I like the earthiness. I like the last half a lot better than I like the first.
Man, it sounds weird, a creamy earthiness, but that's what I'm getting. It's just a really mellow, enjoyable profile on the retrohale. And then I'm still getting that woodsy, what do we call it?
Argentinian rosewood?
Hickory?
Hickory.
Are you getting any of that?
No.
What are you getting?
Just earthy. That hint of pepper that I was getting, that's gone.
You're not getting any spice, any pepper whatsoever now?
No.
It is very muted in the last
I got year. I got past that halfway mark, and like, you know, the retro hell, I'm just not really getting anything from that. I mean, it's the earthiness. I got the hint of cream.
Yeah, there is a little bit of hint of the cream. I actually thought that I was getting a little bit of a malty flavor to it, but I really think that's the beer.
Late in the game maltiness?
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know what? You might be onto something there.
Think it's not just the beer?
No, because I that's definitely something new in the last third of this thing.
Yeah.
Like a beer maltiness or a malted milk ball?
I would go beer maltiness. Yeah, I'm not getting
that. Was a trick question.
You
answered correctly. Okay. If you had said malted milk balls, I would have got your ass out of here.
It's tasting like Whoppers right now.
It is.
I would love for it to taste like Whoppers.
It is also, in this last third, much more full strength. I'm getting a lot of strength out of this thing late in the game. Are you guys?
Yeah.
I'm not saying a lot of strength. The strength has definitely picked up, but it was like on the mild to medium for so long.
I'll tell you what, though, this Nick can certainly pick out the right leaves, because if you take a drag on this and just kind of hold it to the light, the way that the smoke travels
up
the body of the cigar, that it was such a unique thing for me as a rookie smoker. I had never seen that before getting into the Liga Privada, number 9, and... Watching the smoke travel up the body of the cigar. I mean, for a Lancero, it's pumping out just an ungodly amount of smoke if you're on top of it and puffing regularly.
Right.
Man, I like it. I'm not a big Lancero fan. For me, I know a lot of blenders and smokers think it's one of the most purest Vitolas to really get what the blender wants as far as...
I've actually become somewhat of a fan of Lanceros.
I just personally, I think the Toro, for me, gives me the best glimpse at what that size for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of blenders say, too, the Toro or Robusto is the best representation.
I like the Toro.
The Lancero is such a truncated version of any blend. You know, you're dealing with a 40-ring gauge as opposed to 52 or a 54.
Yeah.
It changes things. And I've never been a big fan. I'd be curious to try this in a different Vitola to see if it changed things.
It was interesting because, you know, when Herrera Esteli came out, you know, a lot of people were raving on it. And I was not a big fan of it. And then I had the Lancero, and it was totally different from the rest of those cigars.
They are. They're always different. I've never had a Lancero that was like, oh, that tastes just like...
Yeah.
This other exact, you know...
Vitola.
Yeah. It's encouraging if we're getting earthiness and coffee and cream and woodsy. If we're getting all that from a Lancero, I'd be curious to see how that translated to a wider ring gauge. We'll come back to it one more time here in a little bit. I am enjoying it. We've been doing so many Connecticuts this year. And you know, somewhat more medium to mild cigars.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a real dark representation on the show.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I picked it this week. I kind of needed a fix. And this has done that. Wish we'd gone with a different beer just to know exactly what this is. But I think we could have gone with a dark beer that would have complemented more than this.
I'm liking it. I like the hint of pepper that I'm getting from this. I'm liking the hint of chocolate that I get from the beer. I think, to me, it works well.
I thought so too earlier on. The more I drink and smoke, I'm getting a little bit of a... That could just be I don't really care for the beer. I don't know.
I think that might be it. We can all have
sophisticated palates.
Well, we are internet beer experts.
I think it's our bias against the porter, because I can see where Cody's picking those flavors out and appreciating them. I'm just not... There's a weirdness with porters that I haven't really just latched into, and I think it's my own bias that's kind of pooing the combination.
Are they kind of the runt of the craft beer world? Do they not get as much love as the stouts and the IPAs?
I'm not going to say that. I think there's enough porter contributions out there.
You're not going to hurt their feelings.
But I think that in today's America, you have to be an IPA or nothing. I just think that everybody's got focused so much on IPAs, and now
now that
the sour craze is kind of kicking over, everybody's focusing on that. And of course, we're in summer. It's really hard to get out there and push your porters and your stouts because it's 100 degrees outside.
This is a good mowing the lawn porter.
No.
Dark roasted. So hot out here. Porter was a bad choice. Nobody wants a dark roasted anything. And it was like 120 degrees today. It's so creamy.
That's why when you we're going with a porter, I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, you know what it was?
There's going to be like four of those.
You know what it was? It's actually Yak Boy's fault. He mentioned on last week's episode, the Rose of Sharon. You're like, I really think because we didn't like that pairing.
Yeah.
And you're like, I really think a porter would have brought out some of the more subtle nuances of the cigar. It wouldn't have interfered as much. And I'm like,
I think you're right. Actually, with this beer might be.
I think this beer would have worked better with.
Well, we don't need to go to a type of beer for the last cigar.
Well, you know, porter would have been good for that last cigar we did. But let's do it now with this cigar. Well,
bring out the flip-flop of...
Can we get a glass flip-flop? We just pour the booze on, just spills everything. It's not a containing shoe. Satan's sandal.
All right. I'll work. Let that one work.
Bring on Satan's sandal of sadness.
The sandal of sadness.
You know where I live? They have a glassworks place up the street. Maybe I can talk to those guys about hooking us up with some. Oh, Ray of official Tuesday Night Cigar Club approved glassware. All right, I'll take one Satan's sandal of sadness, please.
Oh, thank God, those aren't really selling like they're supposed to.
How do I drink out of this thing? You don't. Fast. Really fast. Okay, well, I'm going to come back to it one more time. I'm just now hitting the band. Man, something about Nick's cigars, I think I need to go to him twice to get a good picture of him. But I am liking it. I am liking it. There's just not one highlight that's jumping out at me. Like with the Rose of Sharon, it was that vanilla latte. It's the superstar of that cigar. There's a lot of good flavors that come and go, but that is the shining thing I remember from it. I don't know what I'll remember from this.
That's kind of like our first try through on the Wednesday. You know, it wasn't that the cigar wasn't complex. You know,
complex.
It might have been too complex. There was like a lot.
I counted 65 flavors.
There was a lot of flavors going on, and none really kind of stepped into the limelight.
Yeah,
that's kind of the way this is.
But at least, what do I always say, boys? The worst thing you can have is a boring cigar, and this cigar is not boring at all.
No.
I'll come back to it.
So Caitlin's had her face ripped off. Chad is laying there looking at his guts, very, very depressed. All of a sudden, before they can escape out the windows, they're trying to get the boards gone, Clarissa and Biff. Chad turns into a demon. He dies, and when you die, that's when they possess you, and he immediately jumps up and knocks Biff's block off. Just clean knocks his head right off.
Right off.
Which is just a dark-skinned rubber head.
Yeah, it was...
But, dude, at this point, if you don't know that this movie is lighthearted and a goof, I liked it. It was a cheesy effect. I was okay with it. If that popped up in something else...
It was par for the course.
Yes, it was. It was never intended to pass for believable. This is a throwback to the fun 80s horror comedies.
Yeah.
Return of the Living Dead. Night of the Demons.
Oh, Night of the Demons.
Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. Very, very tongue-in-cheek, comedic teenage horror movies, which I happen to love. So this one kind of touched me in a... It got me in a nostalgic kind of spot. I give it more of a pass than you did.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. We're not even to Adrian Barbeau yet.
And I am ready to vacate this movie.
Well, they tried to... You know, fit every stereotypical character into this thing and ramp each one up to 11. The jock Biff, the pretty boy Chad, the stoner Frijoli. I appreciate that. And the actors weren't bad. We've watched some movies where the actors were terrible.
That's true.
These people did what they were supposed to do, which was play caricatures and...
That is true.
And they do it well.
That is true.
So I'm going to give them props for that.
Yeah.
If you're not concerned
that's a good point.
If you're not concerned about realism in the slightest and you're just there to have a good time, at least hire actors that are on the same page and are capable of delivering lines with a straight face but a twinkle in their eye, and these guys do it.
Yeah.
And girls do it. Everybody's really good. Well, they're adequate.
I like everybody but the Branster.
Branster was a little more local theater.
Time to shine just yet.
Branster's going to have a moment here.
Yeah. No, I think local theater is a great analogy for it.
Yeah, Branster. We'll get to the Branster here in a minute. Well, Clarissa manages, while Chad is knocking Biff's block off, she manages to escape out a window. She gets a board loose right as a whole crew of female demons led by Mo try to grab her. She escapes. We go back to the sacrificial chamber where the Prince of Evil and Dicky Boy have the Branster blindfolded again and lying in the middle of the pentagram where Mo was sacrificed. He still thinks he's getting laid after all this. After he wakes up from being knocked unconscious, he still doesn't try to get the blindfold off. He's still like, there's going to be girls, right? I'm getting laid, right? Whatever.
He just says that right.
He just says the whole, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Well, he's going along with whatever these two goofballs tell him. At this point, with Frijoli gone, I really like any amount of time we can spend with these two guys, Dicky Boy and the Prince of Evil. I'm all about it. I love these dudes. Like, let me spend time with them. Right?
I was just waiting for them to go down a hallway where they're like running across through doors and like they can't
Scooby-Doo stuff. They go into a grandfather clock. Yeah.
And they're being chased by the demon women and they just...
Well, the Prince of Evil talks Dicky Boy into doing the stabbing in the heart this time. He talks Sapphire into it the first time. Now he's like, Father Satan has told me that you're ready, child. He doesn't want his fingerprints anywhere on the dagger of
despair. I've seen what happens.
No, he doesn't want the cops to find his prints on this thing. He's a typical leader, leader.
But my question is, who had the black gloves when they took Mo?
I don't know.
What happened to those gloves?
That's a good point. I bet he had Sapphire do it.
She had kind of manly hands.
Well, Dicky Boy hesitates. He tries a couple times to do the knife, and he just doesn't have the guts to do it. To where eventually, the third time he does it, right as he's about to do it, the Branster finally gets nervous. It's kind of clear. Even I could close my eyes and know what's going on here.
Because he said, here, you take the knife.
You take the knife. He finally rolled.
What are you guys talking about? Knife? Is it about boobs?
By knife?
Stab him in the heart with the knife. Is it sex time yet?
do these chicks call their vajayjays knives?
This guy's like totally special.
Well, he finally rolls off the sacrificial table, takes off his blindfold, and sees there's no chicks around, and he runs away screaming, "Devil worshippers!" Well, Clarissa, who's escaped now, runs to a local convenience store where Officer Coolio's walking out with a couple bags of late-night snacks. Remember, he smoked that joint.
Get the little late-night munchies.
The Chronic will get you.
Oh, the Chronic.
As she pleads for help from Coolio, he takes one look at her bloody clothes, and he starts pulls out his gun and starts firing shots at her.
He knows what... You damn Satanists. I know how to stop you.
I cast you away, demon bitch. Damn you, creatures of the night, he says as he starts shooting at her. Now, if this had been any other rapper from the late 90s, he would have shot her ass. Coolio was a wanksta. He never had a gun. He never did anything. He was a horrible shot. He missed her, like, everywhere.
He was still high.
I was about to say. Yeah,
it's Coolio. Come on, man.
Hey.
Well, fortunately for Clarissa, he was a terrible shot, and she's able to run straight down the street to the spooky house they were by earlier where legendary Christine O'Malley lives. She's out on the front porch. Christine, help me. It's the convent. Christine, please. And when that doesn't work, she tries this avenue. Christine, you bitch. Get out of here, you bitch.
She just... Well, for help me, help me, you filthy whore.
Well, for whatever reason, that works. When she starts calling her bitch, the front door creaks open. I'll have to try that next time. So she enters the house. We cut across back town to the convent, where Mo leads her groups of demons to the old locker room, where she starts... They have all these neatly hung nun outfits and priest outfits, and she starts handing them out to her.
Everything in the most of the building is just falling apart and covered in dust and dirt, but not these uniforms.
Not these uniforms.
Clean and pressed, ready for Satan's worshippers.
Well, they all have. Well, she of course dons the Mother Superior with the big helm, the big hood, and all
which
that.
Which basically looks like she's just got the face in like a big white flower.
Pretty much.
Nothing scary about that at this point.
Well, they all have green eyes, translucent skin where you can see the veins under their skin.
Black light.
Exaggerated. No, they did go. They did the exaggerated cheekbones. They put in like the prosthetic cheekbones.
Gives them the sunken eye.
Gives them a little demonic look. But they all have horns. That's kind of the look of these ghouls. It's nothing fancy, but it works for what this film is, I thought. And everything is done to benefit black lights being used. Like, they must have just had enormous black lights on set.
What are we going to do with these 50,000 black lights? I only wanted one. I only got 50,000 of them.
I got an idea.
Well, it's like 2,000, so everybody's trying to get rid of their black light. So.
I don't know if I ever had a black light.
Everybody had a black light. You had one.
We all
had one.
Spencer Gifts.
And then you had to get the little poster that glowed in the dark.
The fuzzy Iron Maiden poster from Spencer Gifts. Remember they had those velvet?
Oh, yeah.
The velvet metal posters and the black light. Oh, you're right. I did have a black light.
See?
What am I talking about? I had like Eddie. I had Iron Maiden Eddie posters all everywhere.
But then I found out black light showed other stuff, and I had to get rid of that.
Oh.
You just quit inviting those dudes over after school. I was going to say that in my Caitlyn Jenner voice. Why, I should have stopped inviting those dudes over after school.
Do not upset.
Now you sound like old man Carruthers from the Scoobs.
And I would have gotten away with it. Dude, what if Caitlyn Jenner was behind this movie? They pull off the demon mask? Party, har, har, har.
I would have summoned the Lord of Satan if these kids hadn't got involved.
And by the way, you can be anti-Caitlyn Jenner and still be pro- transgender. I don't think she's done them any favors. She's still voting Republican. Gotta stick with my principles, baby. Is this Caitlyn Jenner voice doing anything?
No,
for
it's
other
not.
Than creeping you the fuck out.
Oh, we were strong in the gay demographic, and now I can just see our gay listeners just falling.
Hey,
if they're gonna
quit over.
Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn Jenner, and we didn't want him in the first place. My record on gay and bi and trans rights is impeccable. I met Tut at a gay wedding.
That is true. That is true.
Bring forth the flip-flop.
What was the flip-flop called? The flip-flop of...
It was the sandal of Satan.
Well, there's Satan's sandal, yeah.
Satan's sandal.
Satan's sandal of
we
sadness.
We haven't quite worked out what
Satan's
name.
No, Satan's sandal of sadness.
It's...
Give me the flip-flop of flaccidness. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No. Oh, God. No, no. Again, I'll talk to the local glassworks guy, see what this is going to run us.
Do you have some sort of vessel that it looks like a flip-flop? Do I? I got boxes of these things.
I have been waiting. Well, give them to me, baby.
And the tome said that one day you would arrive.
Look, me and the guys were in the back. We had some chronic. Oh, God.
How do we drink out of these things? Well, you pour it over the flip-flop, you get a straw, and you got to work fast. You got to work fast. Back at the creepy old house, Clarissa's looking down the barrel of a pump-action Winchester.
Hell yeah.
Held by the one and only Christine, a.k.a. Adrian Barbeau.
Enter the second point I like about this
Adrian
movie.
Adrian Barbeau.
You actually like Adrian Barbeau in something? This is a first.
I like Adrian Barbeau. She
just answered the door. It's like, hello, lovers.
Hello, lover.
Hello, Clarissa.
Well, she kind of, everything she says is in that voice.
It pretty much is.
Which is funny because the first thing she does is light up a cigarette. If you'll notice, I did, she lights it up. She lets the smoke drift off her lips. She does not inhale. Like I said in our fog episode where she smoked cigarettes, for a woman with that voice, she hates cigarettes. She never was a smoker.
Yeah.
John Carpenter was like, you know, I want you to smoke. And so she'll light it and immediately pull it away. But that voice was God-given.
And that's a rare feat.
Like Dirk Diggler's dong, everybody's given that one special gift. She got three or four.
I was about to say.
She got three or four gifts.
She got two of them that were pretty fantastic.
She got two of them that were pretty
impressive. It was Christmas at the Barbeau house the day little Adrian. Yeah, okay, well.
She's probably thinking, what am I going to do with these? Well.
Someday these will come in handy, lovers. Well, for someone who hasn't left her house in over a decade, she looks incredible. Her hair's fixed. She's got a leather jacket on, some tight acid-washed jeans.
Who walks around their house with that leather jacket on? That's so hot.
I do. I do. Well, I don't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if I did. Awesome. But I don't. Her hair and makeup are perfect. Like, she's literally been sequestered in this house for years.
Thank God I had this home gym put in years ago.
Chuck Norris total body gym. Barbeau, baby. Man, what a movie star. She's a movie star. She shows up on screen, you're like, worth every penny. Whatever you paid to get her, who else is she going to get in this movie? It's going to have that kind of impact.
Why couldn't she have been sprayed down with that blood shower?
That would have been...
Of course, she's like 74 in this.
I was going to say... This
why couldn't she have been sprayed down with a blood shower?
I was going to say, 2000, how old would she have been in that? Because they said it happened in 1960. She would have been 16 in 1960. 40... They're saying she's
56.
They're saying she's 56 in this. Which I'm sure they tailored that to actually come close to... If she's 56 in this, she looks phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, she's... Yeah.
Yeah. Yak boy's on the.
I'm gonna find out.
Find out how old she was in 2000. Well, she takes one look at Clarissa and knows exactly what's going on. Let me guess. Oh, I can actually talk in my voice.
No.
Let me guess, lover. She didn't say lover. Let me guess. You kids broke into the convent to smoke some dope and screw around and all hell broke loose. Well, fuck that noise. Save your story
My favorite line in the whole movie.
Fuck that noise. I gotta start using that with you guys whenever you open your mouths.
Because it's her saying it and it just sounds perfect.
Hey, are you guys getting some mineral on the cigar? Not really, kid. Fuck that noise. You interrupt. Can I finish my...
I'm sorry.
Let me guess. You kids broke into the convent to smoke some dope and screw around, and all hell broke loose. Well, fuck that noise. Save your story for someone who gives a rat's ass. Man. She saunters...
Adrian got really mean.
Yeah, she saunters across the living room in her tight acid-wash jeans and lights up a cigarette. Find someone else to help you. Clarissa pleads with her, explaining her boyfriend's still inside the convent. But Christine tells her, well...
He's already dead.
His situation's hopeless. The demons can only inhabit recently deceased bodies. Once they take over, it's too late. You're already dead. But the Brandster is still there, her brother. And he may still be alive. Doesn't matter unless he's a virgin, says Christine.
Wait.
When she
he's not a virgin, is he?
Son of a bitch. When she finds out he is a virgin, she goes straight for the whiskey bottle. God, I'd love to be that whiskey bottle.
Wait a second.
Tells the tale about what really happened 40 years ago.
And she was effectively about 56.
I figure
in
they...
In 2000.
Okay. What do you mean?
She was born in 45.
So how old was she really in 2000?
She's like 55.
Okay.
So she's about 74, 73 now?
72.
72 now, wow. My Facebook friend's with her. She still looks tremendous. I say that like we're close.
She's sending you a lot of
pics. I'm actually also Facebook friends with the director of this movie, Mike Mendez. He doesn't know me, and I don't know him, but... anyway, she tells what really happened 40 years ago. Fuck the urban legends. I'm going to tell you what really happened. One night, a little demon girl showed up in the convent's garden. It was a little kid with like a white mask on. And when the nuns approached her, and she ripped off the mask and bit her and possessed her. Then that sister attacked another sister with an axe. Then that sister bashed another sister's head in with a board. Then that sister, they show her dragging a sister with a motorcycle.
Motorcycle through town?
Through the town. Dude, that was just for comedy, and it worked. I laughed.
At this point, does anybody... It's like, look, oh, there go the sisters again, acting all crazy.
Dude, you got a demonic nun with green eyes driving this motorcycle through town, dragging another nun. And so on and so forth. Until the entire convent was populated by evil nuns. It was now the devil's convent, she says.
Still fully functional and teaching class.
Correct. The demonic sisters, who clearly aren't human anymore. They're pale, green eyes, they have horns. But these kids, these girls keep going to class with them as their instructors.
And they're whipping their hands with their rulers.
Well, first of all, on the chalkboard, they're now writing, Hail Satan. They're whipping them with...
Oh, man, was I the only one who was really hoping that they would say Hail Satin?
It's pronounced Satine.
They knew what they were doing. They now spank the girls with a board with spikes, like spike nails coming out of it. And one girl misbehaves. What does she do wrong? Some girl, like, doesn't raise her hand when she's supposed to. And one of the nuns just spits up green puke all over. But these girls keep coming to class. They're orphans. They have nowhere else to go.
Little editing point. They actually missed one of the girls just kind of laughing in the background.
No, there was a couple girls. Actually, the girl was getting spanked. They showed laughing. Like. It's either laugh or cry if you're that actress. I'm getting paid $15 plus lunch. Yeah, whatever.
Someone's probably asking, oh, Mike over there, do you think you get a scene where they're not laughing? counting his money.
Well, dude, they're beating the shit out of these kids. They're puking up green stuff. I actually think it's similar to some of the new policy changes Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos is implementing in our public schools. I haven't read the documents. Silly. Betsy DeVos. That doesn't sound evil? DeVos?
Sounds like Devo.
Sounds like a Spawn of Satan to me.
I like Devo. Sounds like the band.
Thought the Betsy DeVos reference would go over like gangbusters. Can't win them all.
Yeah.
Fuck that noise.
As the Brandster will soon learn.
I'm going to add a chalkboard up here on this side so I can start keeping score.
I get a big goose egg then. Well, Christine goes on to explain that one night she went into labor with her baby, and the evil nuns took her to the demon priest to deliver the baby and sacrifice it to the devil. The only thing we learn more powerful than virgin blood is baby blood. They were, which I believe Betsy DeVos brought up in her congressional hearings, but... All right, I'm going to lay off the Betsy DeVos. That's going nowhere. God.
Fuck that noise!
Hey, chalkboard, give me another goose egg. Well, they were going to possess her baby with the son of Satan. But Christine had other plans. That's when she showed up with a shotgun and just started shooting everybody. That goes against the urban legend. So Clarissa's like, wait a minute, your baby's still alive? Yeah, he's a civil engineer in Peoria. The point of the story is if these fuckers get their hands on another virgin, they can finally complete their little ceremony.
Which really begs the question. She's like so happy about like, oh, demons are real. But my son is a civil engineer.
No, but I'm proud of him. But then Clarissa's like, wait a minute. So my brother, my virgin brother's going to be the new Antichrist? Afraid so, honey. Shit, my mom is going to be pissed. Come on, it was funny.
It was funny. I'm
out.
Imaginary chalkboard.
I'm just waiting for this thing to be over.
You just can't. Anything that's not in defined boundaries of genre. Slapstick doesn't belong in here. Come
no.
on, they're having fun. They're having fun in a
it's
war
a
scene.
It's a shitty movie.
Agree to disagree.
It's not a great movie. Just waiting for the glowing skeleton to come out. Maybe the robot.
It's not a great movie, but once I got their attitude and their gist for it, this fit right in with it, and I was able to have fun with it.
Dad, I was just waiting for him to rip off the demon face. And it was old man Carruthers the whole time.
Who'd we say earlier it was? Was it going to be Adrian Barbeau on today? I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you, lovers. Back at the convent, the two phony baloney Satanists, Prince of Evil and Dicky Boy, are once again trying to recite some ancient text and put a dagger through the Branster's heart.
And he sings like this weird silver bell.
Is this like their third time trying to kill this guy?
Thank God he has a subscription to actual Devil Incantation magazine.
Clactu Verata Monthly. But they take too long again.
I said your words.
Well, at one point he starts reciting it. Did you notice it was set to Jingle Bells?
No, it was a Silver Bells. The Christmas song.
We got to set this to something. Come on, dude. When he's doing those chants, you weren't laughing.
No, like I said, there was two and a half things I like about this movie. Adrian Barbeau and these guys.
Well, the nuns break in before they can kill the Branster, and they take the dagger and they shove it through the Prince of Evil's eyeball socket instead. These guys just showed up to impress some goth chicks that night. Their night went south quick. They didn't bargain for anything.
It really feels like they were doing this a lot.
I think they were out there every weekend. And like when the chicks wouldn't dude, for every sapphire, every weekend there's one chick who wouldn't do it. We'll try again next weekend, my love.
I really get the feeling that maybe they were just using like they would go to the grocery store and just get like a, you know, chicken or something.
Like, yeah, like an animal sacrifice. Yeah.
And not even like a live chicken. Hey, already, like,
you got to respect these guys.
Look, all I could get was this frozen turkey. I'm so sorry.
You guys got to respect. These guys at least had a game. They had something going on. Yeah. Horrible something, but it was something. Anyway, well, Christine, back at the house, is preparing for action. She's got an arsenal, like Schwarzenegger in Commando, his shed. Shotguns, machine guns, grenades. She's got everything in her little room. If you can load it, she's loading it, round after round, into her guns. She's got some demons to kill, boys. So she throws Clarissa on the back of her motorcycle, which, having not left the house in 10 years, has up-to-date tags and a personalized plate. Christina.
She still wants to be legal.
And they're off. They peel out, fast speed again, down the street. As the ladies pull up to the convent on Christine's motorcycle, again, the exterior looks nothing like the Alamo, or every time you see it, it looks totally different. The demons are wheeling the two virgins, the Brantster and Dickie Boy. We learn he's a virgin, too. I just haven't met anyone special. Back to the sacrificial chamber on two stretchers stuck together. Clarissa asks Christine what her plan is, and she lays it out. I'm going to walk right in and blow the shit out of all of them.
It's a good plan.
Clarissa's like,
simple.
Seems legit.
You're the expert here.
And that's exactly what she does. As soon as they get inside, a nun attacks them, and she immediately goes off with a shotgun, blasts them, and then takes her machete and starts slicing her head off.
She knows her business.
She's been preparing for 40 years for this. She's like Sarah Connor with titties. Well, 50-something-year-old titties. Still titties.
Man, why couldn't she have been Sarah Connor? Rewrite.
Again, why Matt Cade can't make movies.
Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, in the second one, she did wear just that little wife beater thing. With, like,
yeah, but if that was Adrian Barbeau,
it'd have been stretched to the max.
John Connor would be confessing all sorts of weird shit to the Terminator. So you can't judge me, right? I'm a robot. My mom in those tops. Like, I know I'm supposed to lead the resistance, but every time she talks to me about what I'm supposed to do, like... It would be a totally different movie. Just saying. You brought it up.
I'm just saying.
Even Arnold in the first one, when he bursts in, Sarah Connor.
Whoa.
Yes?
A little programming, kill her.
You sure? Your name, what's the date? It's July 2nd.
What's your bra size?
What's the date? I just told you. The date! That's why Adrian Barbeau is not cast in The Terminator. James Cameron knows what he's doing. There's a quick, funny scene here. Enough about the incestuous John Connor, Sarah Connor relationship.
That's all I'm thinking about right now, so excuse me.
It's going to take a while to come down from that one. I just like him turning to the T-800. You can't judge me, I can tell you anything.
Well,
even he checks out. I am not capable of judgment.
I have secret files that tell me that I should judge you, but I can't not tell you that I should judge you.
There's a quick funny scene here where Dickie Boy has an idea as far as how he and the Brantster can get out of this whole mess. They can't sacrifice us if we're not virgins, so we should have sex.
And Brant...
The Brantster is not...
He's quickly shoots it. Now, wait a second. If we're not virgins, they'll just kill us.
Well, he's 90% not into that idea. He doesn't say no, right? He's like, well, wait a minute. If we're not virgins, they're still going to kill us. If anything, quicker than the sacrifice. He's like, well, that's true, but we could still do it anyway.
We can still try.
I'd still like to try, is what he says. I guess he was also saving himself for Marilyn Manson.
Apparently so.
As Dickie Boy continues to try to get his carrot wet, Christine and Clarissa have harnessed themselves together back to back with a belt. As they make their way through the house, they're belted together. Their backs are against each other, and like Christine will fire some shotguns, and then they'll spin around, and Clarissa will fire some machine gun spray, and then they'll swing around again. I didn't see why they had to be tethered to each other.
I guess this is the way they won't get separated, no one can come between them.
I'd like to be harnessed to Adrian Barbeau front to front, am I right? I don't see how that would kill any demons, though. If anything, it would satisfy my demons. She's old enough to be my grandma, for Pete's sake.
And?
My mother.
Your mom.
My mother.
Your mom.
Terminator 4, the therapist's office. They start to run low on bullets, so they retreat to a side room. How do you run low on bullets? That room had like 1,000 rounds.
And she loaded all of
them.
Did
you guys see? They had a duffel bag full of ammunition at their feet. As they were spinning around, they got rounds. They go into the side room where they keep the super strong demons that have been destroying everything at bay by tilting a chair under the doorknob. That old trick.
Apparently these walls are made of old, dilapidated, falling apart walls, but they can't break through. They can't smash through the wall.
You got the chair, man.
You tilt the chair into the doorknob.
That's it. Game over.
Game over, man. Tut, are you done with? You're done with the cigar.
Yeah, I'm done with the cigar.
What'd you light up next?
La Gloria Serie RF.
Oh, we did that on the show, I believe. Yakboy, you just put yours out.
I just put it out.
Final verdict. I'm got about an inch left here.
The second half of the cigar was definitely the star of it. The first half, I wasn't that thrilled with it. Not a bad cigar.
Not at all.
It's a good cigar. It's not a great cigar, but it's a good cigar.
It's got a lot of what I look for in a broadleaf cigar, especially that last third. Just a really bold strength throughout it. I got coffee, I got earth, I got woods. I got a lot of stuff. But I think ultimately what I said earlier stands. I don't know what the cigar is.
Yeah,
it didn't have
I was missing the strength. And I just, for some reason, I really wanted that cigar to just strengthen up a little bit. And it just, it didn't get there for me.
I'd like to try it, like I said, in a different Vitola, but I definitely, we're over 2 hours in. It was a really good cigar that left me with question marks. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Price point? You first.
I'm going to go 9. He's got the contemplative face.
Stroking his chin.
I'm going to go 901.
Son of a bitch. I always assume people are watching on YouTube. When there's a long silence, we got to narrate. He's stroking his chin. He's looking at my burning cigar, trying to reflect back on memories of the smoke from earlier this evening.
Man, I don't know. 9 sounds about right. I could see them trying to price this around $11.25.
$12.50.
I would have not seen that coming. $10.50, sure.
Okay. I'm going to concur. I think it's priced above what the experience gives us. Maybe not as much as that disparity with the All Out Kings. That price point, I was like, whoa, not even close. I enjoyed this cigar a lot better. But yeah, $12.50. You can go to famoussmokeshop.com and they have fivers, singles. Get a single with your order and just also, before you buy at famoussmokeshop.com, go to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club website, click on Famous, and then do your shopping. Let them know that you're hearing about them from the show. I think that's high.
I do think that's high.
You never know what tobacco costs, where that price point comes from. But I probably would be hesitant to revisit this one at that price. Like I said, I want to revisit it. I want to explore it in a different one. But at that price point, it makes it harder to do.
No, I totally agree with that assessment, especially when you compare other offerings that are out there. in the same price point. We're not even talking about lower price points, but in the same.
Yeah. So, thumbs up for me on the cigar. I liked it. But I'm left kind of kerplunked.
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah. Okay. It does. It does.
Well, back to the movie. Since they're out of ammo somehow, Christine jumps out a window, seemingly abandoning Clarissa. She's like, fend them off. You got it in you.
Well, they have to get to the sacrificial chamber.
Which is all the way across the other side. All of a sudden, the convent is like miles long.
Well, as we've seen from the
exterior shots,
paintings, yeah.
It's huge. It's like the Great Wall of China, this thing. So she jumps out her window. Clarissa thinks she's abandoning her. Because these guys are breaking in through the walls now, these demons. Christine is not abandoning her. She jumps on her motorcycle, drives it straight through the wall to Greg, throws Clarissa on the back of it, and starts driving through the convent.
Kudos to the stunt guy in this scene who gets waylaid by one of the wall panels.
Oh, wasn't it?
Did you see that?
No.
When the motorcycle busts through, it's basically...
Was it a guy with an Adrian Barbeau wig?
Yeah, it was. And what they did is like they shot a hole through the center of it. When the cycle hits, it actually splits in half. You can see the perfect saw cuts in this wall.
Right.
And I think it's the right panel just clocks the driver in the head as the motorcycle falls down.
You can tell it's a dude trying to be Adrian Barbeau.
Oh, it's totally, yeah. Well, she is kind of mannish in the face.
Where's the pint of penance when you need it?
Exactly.
Caitlin and Biff were just about to chomp down on Clarissa when she comes in there. So Christina chops their heads off and then grabs Clarissa and gets on. And then Christina and Clarissa just start making out and kissing on the motorcycle.
That did not happen.
No, it didn't.
It would have been great if it did.
That would have been awesome. It did not happen. Get your head out of the gutter, Tut.
No, that was you who said that.
This is our big religious episode, for Christ's sake. Keep it clean, bro. Well, the Branster might be regretting that he didn't bend over for Dickie Boy, because he's the first one up on the altar to get sacrificed. Demon Mo lifts the devil's dagger of despair, and she's about to plunge it down, but just about she's about to go into the Branster's heart, Christine and Clarissa burst through the door of the sacrificial chamber.
On the motorcycle of mayhem.
On the motorcycle of mayhem.
Ah.
Hey, he's getting it. He's getting up. You're getting it. Christine shoots Mo a bunch of times, sending bright red and pink blood splashing everywhere, and the Branster rolls off the sacrificial table to safety. But Mo ain't dead by a long shot. She pops up and stabs Dickie Boy with a knife. She got one of them.
Uh-oh.
He immediately becomes encased in the devil's embryonic sac. Right? It's like an embryo.
It is just instantaneous, like...
Yeah. And he transforms...
I'm not dead yet!
He transforms into the best-looking demon we've seen yet.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
They put a lot of money in this guy. He's got just real slimy, grotesque skin. His eyes... Everything looks way better than any demon we've seen.
Yeah, he's...
Which makes sense if he's the son of Satan. He looks impressive.
You can't be looking like a schlub when you're the son of Satan.
No, he's got the pointy deviant ears. They didn't really do much with the other's ears. He's covered in goo. Hmm. Yeah, he looks good. Christine orders Clarissa and the Branster to get the hell out of here as she lights up a Molotov cocktail. All right, you motherfuckers. This time I'm taking you to hell myself. Come on, how cool was that when she said that?
That was a good line.
It's pretty awesome.
That was a good line.
But I can't quite figure out how one Molotov cocktail manages to just incinerate the entire...
Well, if it was that small Alamo-like structure, I could see it. Well, she revs up her motorcycle and drives straight at the Dickie Boy demon, and the convent and everything in it bursts into flames. Literally, like the whole... Like,
there's no slow burn.
A city block goes up in flames.
This thing was just a... Powder keg.
It was just waiting to go. Atomic cloud above it.
We see ghostly faces appear out of the windows as they, as the flames shoot them out.
This structure was never sound.
We cut out to that wide shot of the humongous castle, which again looks totally different than it was in. And we have fake lightning bolts start shooting down about it. And the whole place just goes goes up in flames.
Oh, and thank God we're done with this movie.
Almost.
Oh, wait. There's more.
Well, there's more.
It's daylight when Clarissa and the Brandster stumble from the rubble and climb into Frijoli's Jeep. She's got a cigarette now dangling from her mouth, Christine style. So you know she's been changed by this experience. Ray X?
Absolutely.
She's changed. She's like Sarah Connor now.
There's a German shepherd in the back.
He's doing that Hanna-Barbera laugh he did last episode. It's just a matter of time. And guess who else shows up besides them?
Remember? Boozer!
Free Holy's dog, Boozer, shows up.
Old Boozer.
It runs out of nowhere and jumps up in the Jeep with him.
Get the fuck out of here, dog.
Clarissa asks her brother if he wants to hit up some Denny's. But he's pretty shell-shocked by this whole experience, and he declines. She's like, are you sure? She really wants some Denny's.
Who doesn't?
I thought that you don't want some pancakes?
After a night of partying and demon fighting?
I wanted some Denny's.
Dude, get some moons over Miami? Hammy?
Hammy.
I like it.
I thought that was a nice touch. He declines, though. It's the Brandster. He's lame. We then cut to the sorority house where Clarissa continues the chain smoke, and now she's chugging Jack Daniels with the cigarette in her mouth. Her den mother at the sorority house, I want to leave my daughter with this den mother. Keep chugging that whiskey. It'll probably help you sleep tonight. You've been through so much. So I guess they know about the demons and that they've well, obviously, because she's like, the good news about this whole thing you've gone through, I hear you're going to get a 4.0 for the semester.
I didn't commit suicide. I killed demons that possessed the bodies of all my friends.
Well, I have heard that alcohol poisoning will help you sleep better. That's science.
It is science.
Once the den mother leaves, Clarissa notices Boozer the dog acting a little weird. You okay, boy? She asks, right before his eyes turn bright demonic green, pounces through the air up onto her bed and gnaws onto her neck and rips her to pieces. She screams, blood splatters.
Freeze frame.
The end.
Thank God.
Rookie mistake. She should have killed the dog first.
Always kill the dog first. That's our movie. Thoughts?
Yep, that's our movie. It was horrible.
Again, I'm always open to suggestions if you guys think you can do it better.
Oh, are you open to suggestions?
What was the... Rosemary's... That wouldn't work. Rosemary's Baby. What was the one you said?
Name of the Rose.
Christian Slater? Sean Connery?
Sean Connery.
It was a mystery, for God's sakes.
That had religion in it?
Yes, it did. They were monks.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's End of Days.
Wow.
That probably would have been a really good one.
He didn't make that vodka pizza shake. That was pretty sweet.
Hey, I've been having those for breakfast ever since, and I turned out just fine. Mr. Olympia, come.
Some men pray, I drink.
Yeah, I probably could have gone with something better.
I just don't see like Kevin Pollak being his his partner. We can get through this day, whatever.
I stand by it. It's a movie that was always out there. Now, granted, we had to really jump through some hoops to watch this. It wasn't on Netflix. You couldn't even rent it on Amazon. I made the boys get the Roku channel
Tubi TV,
which unfortunately it's free.
It is free
and uncut.
It is free,
but you do have to watch commercials
with it.
Do you guys like that Brad Paisley Nationwide Insurance commercial?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, you guys didn't get that one?
No.
Oh, I got like 10 times.
No, you were lucky then.
But I will say this, for a free channel that's offering up movies, I don't mind commercials when it's done like that.
As long as the movie's uncut and free, it streamed fine, it looked good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
So if you're really dying to see this thing after our enthralling analysis of it, Tubi TV is the Roku channel. They have a cell phone and a iPad app as well.
I'm actually kind of curious about what else is on there.
They have some decent
flicks. Yeah. on there.
Their whole thing is, if it's not on Netflix, come to Tubi TV.
Okay. I'll check it out. I mean, like I said, I don't mind commercials on free stuff.
Tubi TV.
Do they have a subscription?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's straight up free. Deal with the commercials.
It is. If you want to see really good horror comedies, I would first suggest you visit some of the ones we mentioned earlier. Return of the Living Dead is the godfather to me. Shaun of the Dead, obviously, more mainstream people know or aware of.
I love Deathgasm. I mean,
Deathgasm we did.
Absolutely.
That Boy Scout movie did wasn't terrible either.
It wasn't terrible. Knights of Badassdom. It's still on Netflix.
Is that horror?
That's fantastic.
That's fantasy comedy.
But it's still horror
it's
comedy.
It's got demons and stuff.
Is that the one with Peter Dinklage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Good. All right. That actually is on Netflix. Yeah. There's some other horror comedies I'm probably overlooking. Some of the werewolf ones had some, like, I don't know if they'd be horror comedies, but like The Howling, American Werewolf in London.
They had moments.
They had comedic moments. There was that kind of...
like the zombie in American Werewolf, The Friend.
Sitting in the movie theater and there are the couple like, oh, you should definitely just kill yourself.
Yeah, there's also some, like, slasher, like Friday the 13th Part 6 took a much more comedic approach to Jason, which I think it needed at that point, and it worked beautifully. I love that entry in the Friday the 13th as far as changing it up tone-wise a little bit, which it needed to kind of poke fun at Jason a little bit. When horror movies poke fun at themselves and they do it right, it can be a really cool thing. I don't know why it's always so heavy into the zombie. I think because that genre is so ridiculous to begin with.
Yeah.
It's easier to have fun with. There was in the early 80s Student Bodies and some other lighthearted kind of horror films. But I think I like this a little bit better than you guys. Man, for me, anytime I can see Adrian Barbeau in tight pants shooting a shotgun, it's going to be hard to give that a thumbs down.
It's pretty sweet.
If nothing else, I think our John Connor incestuous, that's the highlight of this show. Whatever else we did, this film got us there.
True.
That will be our legacy. But you know what? After Pretty in Pink, I kind of needed I needed this. I needed this, boys. I promise we'll do a good movie next. I don't promise, but... oh, wait, no, I know exactly what movie we're doing next, we'll have fun. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be our Zima episode.
Oh, jeez. Zima, I can't wait. Can't wait to wake up after that. Reeking of clear malted liquor.
It's going to be a winner. I can feel it already. Tut! Links, get us out of here.
Hit us up at TNCCcast on Twitter. Join the Facebook page, Tuesday Night Cigar Club. Hit the Instagram. Matt does a great job on that, TNCC_podcast. Join us. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well, Tuesday Night Cigar Club. Leave us a couple of reviews on the iTunes channel. Let people know what you think.
Boy, you know what? As many people that we know are listening and as feedback as we get, like, man, it's such a little thing to rate us on iTunes. Not even leave us a comment, but just hit the stars. We're getting so much feedback either through Messenger or things that people are really digging the show. unfortunately, iTunes is kind of the litmus test as far as ratings and to this day in the podcast world. So please just click, you know, like I always say, click 5 stars, click 4 stars, or be an asshole and don't click anything. If it's not 4 or 5, don't do anything. And for God's sake, don't leave a comment. I'm talking to you, Mom. But no, that'd be great. And YouTube especially, more subscribers would be great. I think that's one of those things where if we start subscribing to people, they'll subscribe to us, but we're not too good at that whole yin and yang thing. But more people are every episode watching on YouTube, so that makes me happy. Overall, everything's making me happy, boys. Tuesday Night Cigar Club related. Everything else is going to hell in a handbasket, but I think we're doing good. I think we've had a good year so far. And I'll say this, I don't think I don't know what to say about the cigar. I don't want to say it's a disappointment. I got to sleep on it. And by sleep on it, I mean I'll watch this tape and see what we said about it. But man, I want to smoke another one.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have another one. I will smoke it and see if it maybe brings some with a different beverage, or different company.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Maybe if I smoke it with some other dudes, that might enjoy it more. Or maybe not.
Bring forth the flip-flop.
Bring back the flip-flop of assholeness. I still want to work on that name a little bit.
We'll figure it out.
But yeah, it's an... and the beer, meh.
Yeah, I'm totally meh on the bell.
Real quick, I will say this. I told Tut when he showed up with these guys tonight. Man, it just... You got to put some thought into your marketing. It's a very boring looking bottle. The label,
it's beer.
I know, but the label, it looks like a box of granola you would buy at the Whole Foods, at the natural grocery.
Not everyone's going to spend all this time and money like, I'm going to call it this weird, crazy name.
Not even the name. Just the look of the bottle is very granola. It's very...
It's not a white label that says beer.
There's nothing sexy about it. It's like, what do you want to do the text in? Brown. All right, what about the border?
Brown.
Okay, well, what about we could do brown? All right, what if we do something different? White. I don't know. It's one of the most boring beer labels I've seen in a long time.
It works.
It doesn't work. You're wrong. Wrong! But nonetheless, it is a beer, and we drank it.
It's beer.
Fun show. Once again, we've taken a ho-hum movie and made it hum.
I am whelmed.
We lost...
It's the best treatment that this film has gotten since it won 2 festival awards.
It won festival awards?
It won festival awards.
Fanta Festival. Best audience.
You know, I really didn't need to hear that right now. We're waiting on some film festival responses to our short film. That's the reason I don't fucking send stuff to film festivals. It not only got in, it won some awards. Did it now. And this is beer.
This is beer.
Can I get a he's doing it?
No.
Keep going.
Your heart wasn't into it. I can't do it without you guys.
Great. Now we're responsible.
No, we're never responsible. We're the same irresponsible assholes that will be here next week to bring you another lovable episode of the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast. Love us or hate us, no one else is doing what we do.
No one.
There's something to be said for being unique.
I like it.
Granted, we're unique assholes, but we're still unique. Yeah. And we really do appreciate those of you that listen, that let us know you're listening, and we do it for you. and to give us justification for
our alcoholism.
Our alcoholism.
Come on, keep laughing.
Cue crying.
Picture John Connor in that therapist office. Come on, do it.
We got something out of tonight.
We got something.
All right, let's jump the camera so we can talk about that more. We'll see you next in 2 weeks. With a brand new episode, I promise the Zima episode is going to be
rocking
bananas.
Zima.
I'm going to give you one hint for the movie for Zima. Don't Fear the Reaper is a pussy song. Every band puts out that one pussy song to figure out who all the pussies are. Do a little homework, you can figure out what it is.
Not you guys.
No.
Why would you just tell us?
I'll tell you guys. May the wings of liberty never lose a feather, boys. Now more than ever. Sayonara, motherfuckers.
To learn more about the time I lived in a convent full of strict, cold, emotionless, but surprisingly horny nuns, because society couldn't handle me, only to be yanked away to rescue my old army colonel from the grips of a militant foreign regime. Read my autobiographical short story, Keith Bo, First Boner Part 3, by Keith A. Howell. Available wherever ridiculous and offensive short stories are sold. Yanked Away. Now there's a short story title if I ever heard one. You've still got it, Keith Bo. You've still got it. And, in the meantime, to learn more about the cigars and libations enjoyed on tonight's episode, you can visit www.foundationcigarcompany.com and www.bellsbeer.com. For more on O'Brien's Irish Pub, the live music leader in Central Texas, please visit O'BriensTemple.com and download their free smartphone app, where you'll find full beer listings including over 40 on tap, menu information, and a calendar of upcoming live events. To listen and purchase music heard on tonight's program, check out www.fritzbeermusic.com. Thank you for listening to the Tuesday Night Cigar Club podcast. This is Keith A. Howell saying, until next time, friends, unless we see you sooner at the pub. So keep it smoky, and for God's sake, keep it ballsy as well.